everybody. We're on live here on ProThink Radio. Today is Saturday the 13th. Hopefully we'll bring you an exciting show. It's been quite a little build-up. A lot of people are seem to be joining in and excited to hear what everybody's got to say in this show. We're going to see, just to verify, we got everybody on the line with us here. All right, it does look like we have so far Going Pride, Scott Roberts, and Quest, only people that have called in. So looks like those will be the three guests with us today, and doesn't look like John took us up on our offer. First thing we're going to do is kind of lay out some ground rules and kind of set the tone for what we're going to do with this show today. The idea to have this show was to kind of get everybody on board, public, and to really lay out some groundwork of the reason why everybody's kind of split apart and everything. That's kind of where we're going to get at. And some of the things we're not going to do on this show is we're going to attempt not to attack anybody here. This isn't going to be about anybody's private lifestyles or anything like that. It's not going to be any, you know, private defaming of anybody. It's going to be strictly to do with the message that people put out, and I guess the differences between all of us here and how we could either put some things aside, or, you know, if things don't work out like that, what we can do is just kind of go our own ways, I guess, if things don't work out after the show at this point. So, like I said, we got Quest, we have Scott Roberts, and we also have GP, short name for Going Pride. And we're going to be bringing them on shortly. I just wanted to bring up a little note. I just posted something new on an article, which I was extremely impressed to see. Someone down in Australia went and videotaped them confronting an Israeli-owned kiosk mall cart and made a half-hour video. It's on a website right now, prothink.org. There's some of the things that I was raising issues about that I didn't agree with, but that really didn't matter. The fact was that this guy got on the street and actually did something, and he videotaped it, and he really brought it to the guy. The Israeli was telling him how 9/11 was done by Israel and all this stuff. It was very, very, very exciting to see. Matter of fact, I think what he did probably topped anything I've ever done, so you know, go ahead and check that out. Here's how we're going to do this. We're going to do 5 minutes apiece, and within that 5 minutes, everybody else will be muted, including myself, and you'll be able to speak your mind. So for the first hour, we're going to let the four of us each get five-minute blocks here, and then the second hour, we're going to have you callers call in. Now, we're not going to be looking for callers. You know, I talk to you guys on the phone a lot. We're not going to be looking for callers to have conversations on here. It's strictly going to be, and it's going to be very strict, mind you, that we're going to have you call in. You're going to have 30 seconds or less to ask a question, or if you prefer, just to make a comment, you know, pro thinks a Jew or something stupid like that, that's fine. It really doesn't matter. But that's what's going to be the pretext here, is we're going to have you call in, leave a 30-second call, and if you want to address something to myself, Scott Roberts, Going Pride, or Quest, that's, you know, you're more than welcome to do that in the second hour. The phone number is listed on the website. It's 724-444-7444. And you'll have to enter in the code 16999. Now, we're going to go ahead and start off. Really doesn't matter who we bring on first, but I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to hand it over to Goyan Pryor. We're going to give him about a 5 minute, like I said, 5 minutes to speak here. Let me go ahead and bring him on with us. All right. Do we have Goyan Pryor with us on?
Yeah. Hey, Mike.
Hey. Well, I'm going to go ahead and give you the next 5 minutes here. Say what you feel. Probably didn't expect me to bring you on first, but I figured I'd let you set the tone and, you know, speak your mind here. So go ahead and get 5 minutes on the mic. If you want to give it up early, just let me know.
Yeah, I'll have to probably end up doing that. I'm glad you invited me on. I'm disappointed John wasn't didn't come on, but I'm glad I got to be on here. And you, either way. Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking forward to moving ahead in the spirit of unity and cooperation between us. You know, I'm really hoping that we can get something like a united Gentile front going on, so we can really take it to the Jew. So I'm good, man.
All right. Well, that was quick, short, and precise. And I am also, I guess we can, I'm going to speak on my behalf with the John issue real quick here, and then we'll give the next 5 minutes here over to Scott and let him speak what he needs to speak. The whole issue with John and why me and him aren't associating with each other is, in my view, I'm just going to put it like this. It was strictly for my support for Quest. And, you know, I didn't feel that that was really a good enough reason for him to, you know, say he wanted to stop supporting me because I supported Quest. Like I said, I got an issue with every single buddy on the panel. single buddy out there. But at the same time, we got to put these differences aside. And that's been my whole pretext here. You know, when I used to deal with Converse, obviously I'm not Muslim, and he's got some views that come from his Muslim background that I might not agree with. But at the same time, you know, we try to work together and do things, and same with John, and same with Quest, and same with the rest of these people out here. So, it kind of gets to the point where everybody breaks up and in their own little branches. You kind of have what's like an anarchist philosophy of unity, where everybody's their own dude and everything, and nobody can work together, which is why we don't pose a threat to these people. I mean, the information is getting out, that's fine and dandy, but it's going to be a time when we really need to have some kind of leadership and have some kind of solution to this. On that note, we're going to go ahead and welcome on Scott Roberts, and let me go ahead and bring him on here. All right, Scott, we got you on with us.
Can you hear me?
Yep, there you go. All right, Scott, we'll go ahead and give you the next 5 minutes here. Feel free to take up the whole 5 minutes and just kind of speak your mind where you're at. If you want to talk about where you started off on YouTube, or, you know, give kind of a little background for the people that are listening and don't really know what you've done and some of the work you put out there. So go ahead now. Let me get you in the next 5 minutes here.
All right. I could probably go for 30 minutes, and you originally said that we're not going to talk about personal stuff, but then you went on and talked about John, so I might incorporate some of those things into my message as well. But as far as when I first came on to YouTube about 10, 11 months ago, I was speaking about racial issues. I mean, I grew up in an all-black community, and everything was black and white to me. And I've since realized that that's not an effective approach. I mean, if you have an angry black Israelite or a white nationalist or a black nationalist speaking about these issues when it concerns the Jew, and they're all on their own, and they're just strictly going against everyone. So let's just say a white person. They're complaining about blacks, about Muslims, about Jews. Then the average white person even is not going to listen to them. So even if you're here looking out for white folks and you're going off about everyone, then you're going to turn off the very people that you are claiming to be there for. So, you know, that's not an effective approach. So I've admitted several times that my concerns were real back then, but my approach was wrong. So I've since changed my approach. I've made alliances with people that I originally had problems with. One name would be Jack Doodle, as some people might know. I had an ongoing dispute with him. Nothing out of the ordinary, nothing that bad. But nonetheless, it's much more effective if people like he and I can come together, united against a common interest, a common enemy, a common concern. Now, I do want to talk about this division and these problems that are taking place here, because I never had a problem with you. I spoke with you on the phone several times, speaking about Mike. I talked to John, and I spoke with Quest. I didn't have an issue with anybody, not a single person. And then all of a sudden, because not a lot of people will not know about this, I got a message from your website telling me that I was a snake in the grass, essentially, for no reason. This was out of nowhere. So I simply started asking the three of you, because you were the three involved in that website, what was the meaning behind that? And I asked a couple of times, and I'll go to Quest right now, because I asked him a couple of times, politely, nicely, giving him the benefit of the doubt, thinking it was either a mistake or he might have heard something from somebody. So I asked him politely a couple of times what the problem was, and the response that I got was public. Well, it was on his website, on his YouTube channel at least, to tell me, you know, stop being a crybaby and just some other stuff that was basically out of nowhere. Now, that was causing division out of nowhere. And if you look at everything, there's a common denominator here as far as all the problems that are being caused with everybody. And I want to throw in here as far as an analogy about infiltrators, and I've used this before, some of you may have seen it, but if you were an FBI agent trying to infiltrate the Hell's Angels, would you not be better served to approach it by trying to appear as the most, you know, crazy son of a bitch on wheels, like just over the top insane, that way no one questions you? That's the tactic that a smart FBI agent would take. So it's the same thing that someone infiltrating our ranks would do as well, to go over the top, do this, do that, and we're going to kill them all, and just take such an over-the-top approach that no one would ever question them. And I took that same thought when it came to Quest as well, because you think, well, his message speaks for himself. Anyways, I didn't call him into question. They called me into question. I say they as in the three of you, at least initially that's the way it appeared, were calling me into question, saying that I was a Jew sympathizer and all this nonsense that someone could have said 11 months ago or 10 months ago when I started off saying Zionist and stuff. But this all took place 2.5 months ago, and at that point in time, I had long been calling them Jews, calling them exactly what they are. So the timing's off. There's no excuse that can be given to me that, oh, you're being a Jew sympathizer at that point in time. Well, then that issue would have come up long before it finally did come up. And back to my little analogy, like I said, it makes sense in this instance as well. And no one would ever question the intentions of somebody that does that.
We got 1 minute.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, you got 1 minute. Go ahead.
So what does a person like that do? They try to divide people, not just interracially, but intra-racially as well. And that's what I did point out about Quest's video. He's sending it. And first of all, he has all these Nazi things behind him. And the average white person, and I'm speaking just to whites right here, the average white person is not going to listen to somebody that has a Nazi flag behind them. And he knows that. He knows that's not an effective approach to reach out to the masses. And that's what we're here for. We're not here to preach to the choir. If you want to preach to the choir, then you go and you talk to people as Quest does. And you send videos out to them as the video in question, which brought all this up a couple of weeks ago, where he's burning a fellow white who is being effective, who is reaching out to the masses. So there's a danger in that. And then suggesting, you know, using psychological techniques, talking about, oh, some nigger's going to rape your daughter, and just trying to play on people's emotions and telling them you're not doing enough. You're living in this internet world, and that's not enough, but yet that's exactly what he's doing. He's making use of the same thing that he's criticizing.
All right.
Go ahead.
All right, we got you 5 minutes. I'm going to be real strict with this. We're going to go ahead and bring on Quest here, and we'll let him respond, and then I'll take the next 5 minutes after that to kind of respond to all. And Quest, we have you on the air.
Okay. Hopefully you can hear me well. I'm on speaker right now.
All right. We got you on for the next 5 minutes, Quest. We'll go ahead and give you the floor.
All right. Well, geez, there's so much to address with all that. Okay. First, let me just say, I'm more of the mentality of curing cancer. And I see other people as more of the mentality of just cutting the cancer out with the chance of this cancer growing back in the body again. I look to unite with people who also want to cure this cancer. And that's exactly how I view it. And people can view that as dividing or whatever. I know one voice will eventually come out of all this mess, and that one loud voice will be the one that unifies the people against their common enemy. Now, as far as all this, what Scott was addressing, you say, oh, he said it's from out of nowhere. No, it's from out of your message. It's from out of your, it's not all Jews message. It's from out of your Rabbi Weiss is an honest Jew. It's from out of my brother-in-law is a good Jew. It's from that, and I've explained that many a times. I will constantly not agree with people like that, and I will constantly say that's the wrong message. This is the Jewish question we're talking about. That sends mixed messages. We are being destroyed. People need to understand that. And this has been going on for a long time. I know many of you have just gotten into this for the last couple years, but goddamn it, there's people in prison, dead, who've been around forever fighting this, and it's only getting worse. And that's the mentality I'm coming from. And if that's too extreme for people or, you know, too rough around the edges, then so be it. I am one person saying this. It shouldn't affect all these other people. If you think my methods are wrong, then you know what? You shouldn't worry about it, because then your method of attracting the lemmings and the fence sitters should work then, regardless of what I say. So we shouldn't come back to Quest as a Jew and all these ad hominem attacks that fill the internet with this childish activity. And now when I speak about internet activism, what I speak about is taking the metaphysical and turning it into physical. Yes, I agree with using the internet, but I want to see something form from all the information that's on the internet. That was the point of that video. So for people to misconstrued what I was saying on that video is ridiculous, and it gets back to games where we start arguing back and forth. Now, I'm perfectly fine at the stance Scott has, and I'll say this. I apologize for being abrasive, because I know I am. I know many people that I was abrasive with at first. We didn't like each other. We eventually became good friends. And I understand I was abrasive with you, and that's my own problem. Maybe I need to work on that. And I also apologize for addressing you in the first place. That was my mistake, and I will never make it again. What I said to you 8 months ago can be seen by anyone. If you go onto my blog, go to my video link section on the links, go to live video link on there, and click on the video. I love calling it for what it's for. Now, this is not my site. Someone else put up this site with some of my old videos. That was the old video. that I sent Scott 8 months ago. And in that video, I asked him, who are these good Jews you speak of? I did address that. That's always been my problem. That's been my problem with anyone. Always been my problem with anyone who takes that stance. And people can view that as dividing, as, infighting or whatever. But I've been saying the same thing for 2 years. And as far as being active, I've been very active on the streets. And as far as FBI infiltrators, as someone who has dealt with them, I will tell you how they work. They're the most friendliest, nicest people you meet. They get in with your trust, and that's how they infiltrate. Not by pointing out the wrongs of other people. Not by making you dislike them. That's not how feds work. They're the nice people that you like and you'd never expect. That's how feds are. And that's from personally dealing with them out on the streets when we were active in the white nationalist scene. And I make no apologies for that, because I know who the Jews are aiming to destroy and who their main enemy is, and I will not ignore that if some people get their feelings hurt, because I'm speaking reality. I'm speaking what's the truth. I'm speaking what's happening in the world today. I'm sorry, we can speak about uniting, but there's a war going on those streets right now where white kids are being indoctrinated into cultures that are not their own, where white women are being raped at numbers, and we have to address that. People have to better themselves before we can expect any kind of unity. We can't have unity with a bunch of degenerate people still doing drugs, still drinking, still looking at porn. It's asinine to even think like that. And that's the mentality all have to get past.
All right. We got the question on there, and I'm going to go ahead and give my two cents on here. Thank you, Quest. Now, one of the issues I've noticed about Scott, I'll agree a little bit with Scott and a little bit with Quest on this. I'm not trying to rough up any waters, but let's say back a year ago when I was on the same message, Zionist, because I didn't know any better. I was new to this. Like I said, Quest has been around for a long time dealing with these issues, so he gets frustrated with seeing people that have a soft message when it comes down to it. Because quite frankly, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take us being very strong on our message and very defined on it. And, I can understand the criticisms that Quest might have had with Scott back then, because Quest actually had those same criticisms with me about 8-9 months ago. And, obviously, it just wasn't at the point where I'm at now where I understood as much as I do. And, this just stems back from, wanting to see people basically get to a point of education where they understand this and they want to start coming up with solutions. But, I do have to agree, there are some times when I have noticed that Scott has taken a soft message at points or what have you. To be honest, I haven't watched a ton of Scott's videos to really see where he's at right now. And, as far as my take goes on it, it's just, I guess let me bring up this too. As far as like racial slurs, I don't prefer to use those and I don't support those. Obviously, people know that, and I also make note that although Quest might have used that in a specific video for a specific group of private people, I've never noticed that too much on his site where you'd see that, any more than like, say, Judicial Inc. even has it on their site. Kurt Maynard's got some good stuff on his site too. So, as far as those go, those aren't something I would personally approve of. And, that's perfectly clear. But, I don't know what to make of all this. It's just a matter of you gotta have an understanding. And when you have an understanding of this, you've got to have a solution to it. And that's been my big beef about this whole thing is, we need to hit the streets. That's obviously the next step here. And nobody's done that. You got Alex Jones and their crowd running around hitting the streets and confronting politicians and New World Order this and New World Order that. And, they're at such a level where it's just not even really helping anything. We need to get out there for the people that know a little bit more information to actually hit the streets. So, that's a part of a solution there is to be able to hit the streets. But I'm going to go ahead and cut my end short because, I don't really have too much to say as far as like the two of them, but we're going to go ahead and bring GP back on here and give him a 5-minute run. GP, are you on there?
Hey, Mike.
All right. Let me go ahead and give you the next 5 minutes to roll and kind of respond to that yourself and what your thoughts are and where it should go from here.
All right. Thanks, man. Yeah. I think it's important to recognize that, look, Quest has been abrasive as he has mentioned and wrong Scott. Scott responded, and, you know, and he was pretty hard on Quest, too. Well, I guess I'm trying to, you know, this can easily turn into a shouting match or just, you know, nothing good, you know, nothing positive can come out of this very easily. And I think what's important is to ask, you know, how can we get solution-oriented and how can we move on from this spot? You know, and I think it's real important to respect each other. And I'm not denying any wrongs done to anybody, but I was under the impression that the topic was mainly unity and how we can move on from here and how we can possibly work together or if it has to be, you know, work separately. But I would definitely like to see a solution, at least not attacking each other at the very least, you know, because I don't think that's going to help anything. You know, if your message is, you know, doesn't necessarily coincide with somebody else's, that's fine. But I think generally speaking, our messages are pretty much the same thing. And just for the record, you know, I've watched quite a few of Scott's videos. I've definitely not watched all of them by any means, but all of the videos that I've seen of him in the past month, not one of them has any kind of sympathy for the enemy. I haven't seen anything that I was like, oh, I got to be careful about that. And I mean, maybe I just missed some, but that's just my impression. And I think, you know, at the same time, you know, he has a lot of valid things to say. At the same time, Quest has a lot of valid things and a lot of really, he's made a lot of really good videos. And you know what, maybe they're addressing slightly different crowds. I think a lot of this is really unnecessary, but again, I don't want to come off like I'm trying to say, oh, you know, trying to not take sides or something like that. But I mean, I really just think that it's almost pointless. At some point, we've got to start working together and like, what can we do to help? And I guess that's just pretty much where I'm coming from. I came from the same background as Mike in that, you know, I used to be all anti-Zionist, and you know, it took me a while to get there, and Quest has obviously been involved in the game for a lot longer, but, you know, I never had a white nationalist background, and, you know, and I really, where I'm coming from is, you know, whatever we want to do afterwards, we need to focus on getting rid of the problem, the cancer, now. And the only way I believe that we can do that is through uniting, and after that, whatever comes, you know, whatever may be, we'll leave that to the future, but right now, what can we do together to confront this Jewish problem? And I guess that's all I have to say.
All right, and on that note, we're going to go ahead and pass it over to Mr. Scott Roberts here. Let me bring him on the line. All right, Scott, you got the floor for the next five. Go ahead.
Okay, well, first of all, I'm not here to make any friends. I've said that several times, and I'm not going to agree with anyone on the face of the earth when it comes to everything all the time. And even after, and you have to look at where this is all stemming from. It was never a problem between any of us until it was put there by Quest. I'm not going to scream and yell and try to make my point in that manner. This is just a fact. And to point out the video that he made to me 8 months ago, that was a friendly video. The video that he made 2 weeks ago was anything but friendly. And I put it on a YouTube channel. If anyone wants to see it, the YouTube channel is 6Scott1. And you can see for yourself, and I'll let you judge for yourself just how friendly that message was. But you have to keep in mind who that was intended for. That was intended for other whites, causing division between whites, taking someone, and first of all, he's bringing up stuff about my brother-in-law or anything else that someone wants to bring up of a personal nature. Everyone that's been listening to me knows that I disclose everything. No one has to pull any of this information out from me. I have said my brother-in-law is half Jewish. That's it. And all I said about him was he's clueless. He doesn't know that these things are going on. That's the fact. So that is neither here nor there, and it's not something that should be being brought up in this manner. Anyways, to say that I'm being sympathetic to Jews, that, like I said, my videos speak for themselves. But when I had my original channel, when I was finding these things out as I went. It's not, you know, we're not all born with knowledge, but once you obtain it, it's what you do with it. And I was trying to take my viewers along with me. And I wasn't going on about Zionism for a very long period of time. I was just having a transition, trying to transition my audience into the reality of things. It was, in part, it was because I was learning, but in part, it was also a deliberate method that I was taking. So to sit there and take this method and take this thing that he's trying to reach out to me and tell me in that video to be more direct, no, he wasn't directing it towards me. And this is something that happened a couple of months ago, even after all the things were said, even when John wrote me back in private, at least he did in private, saying that I'm a Jew sympathizer and a couple of other things. I still posted John's videos, your videos, and if there was a video of Quest, because half of his videos, he's very calm and very deliberate, he makes perfect sense, and I've never taken that away from him. And if there's a video that I think is good for the cause, I would use them. I don't care about personal problems or any of this other stuff. I'm not here to make friends. But I will point out when someone's trying to cause division, not just between the races, but within the white race as well, the very people that he's claiming to defend. So if you're going to sit there and go and say, first of all, an intelligent person doesn't speak in that manner anyways. You don't say kike and nigger and all this other stuff. But if you're going to form allegiances, as Quest did with John, then you don't turn around and stab him in the back, essentially, and start saying nigger this and nigger that. Don't form alliances with people of other races if you're going to speak about them in such a derogatory manner. That just doesn't make any sense whatsoever, again, unless you have an agenda. Now, whether he's this, that, or the other, I can't say. And I'm going to move on as I've been trying to move on. I'm not the one who, 2.5 months later, was still making videos about a person and having such hatred and animosity in it. I let this stuff go 2 months ago. I moved on, and I even said, like I just repeated right now, if there was a video that Quest made that I felt was good, I would still use it. Not at this point, but at that point I would have, because then I didn't know what the problem was. I didn't know why he suddenly stabbed me in the back, where a week or two prior, we were about to hang out, and then the next thing you know, he's coming at me with such venom, and it was just absolutely uncalled for. My time up or what?
You got about one more minute. Go ahead.
And another thing, and I'm going to speak on John's behalf here on one thing. I've seen a lot of people on your page criticizing him for going on the Black Israelites website. And first and foremost, he's black or part black. He has the right to do so. But he was there speaking and letting these angry blacks, these people that have no tolerance for white folks, right? He's letting them know, take some of that anger and animosity from the white people that you're blaming, and it belongs on the Jews, pointing out such things as 75% of the slaves were owned by Jews, and stuff along those lines. So you cannot criticize him for that any more than you can criticize me for being over at Stormfront trying to do the same thing, trying to tell people the same method that David Duke is using at this point in time to have sympathy towards blacks and everyone else, because ultimately we're not going to resolve our problems individually unless we work collectively towards these goals.
All right. And on that note, we're going to go ahead and hand the floor over. All right. All right, Quest, floor is yours. Go ahead.
All right, well, this is turning into exactly what we said it wasn't going to turn into. Like I said, I'm fine with where Scott and myself are at. I don't feel we're motivated by the same things. I don't feel we believe in the same things. I feel we have some certain similar beliefs, and I feel we do see a common enemy. But I don't think our goals are the same, and that's what it comes down to. I don't think we have the same understanding of why we need to rid our country of this cabal that has, for 4,000 years, infested every Gentile land. I really don't. So, you know, you can keep preaching with what I'm doing and dividing, but I'll tell you this. I've never changed my message from day one. Anyone who's seen my accounts in YouTube for the past 2 years knows that. So to say I'm dividing when I'm the only one who hasn't changed my message, I reached my peak. I am at the mountaintop in my beliefs and understanding of the Jewish question. And I'm not going to walk down midway down there to camp out the people who are fine halfway up there. And that's the same message I've been saying since I've been on this internet. So I don't see how it comes to me dividing when I haven't changed my tone, my beliefs, or anything at all. Now, with John, his falling apart with me did not come at me saying nigger in that video. His falling apart with me came from my article on positive fascism when, you know, kind of funny, I was trying to find a middle ground, and I caught slack from white nationalists and him when I was trying to speak on what is a way that we can live together without destroying each other through racial mixing. And I put my own thoughts on what kind of laws there would be, and it wouldn't be financially beneficial to people to breed outside of their race. And this is where he had his falling out with me. It didn't come with me saying nigger on that video that that you've spoken about over and over again. It's, you know, not that. It came at a different position, a different time, over a different thing, where I thought I was trying to reach a middle ground, where I thought I was very fair. And I think even if you, Scott, read that article, you would think, hey, that's pretty fair too. And that's where that came from. So, it didn't come from me saying that. It was long before that. He had his falling out with me, and he took some you know, action be, to other people about me after that. So it doesn't come from that. I've always been saying the same thing. We're striving. I'm striving for Arianism at the root of what Arianism is, the definition of it, of finding a society of noble, honorable people, of a thought process that the Jews have stolen from us and turned us into a bunch of degenerates. And you know what? I'll run into people and, you know, maybe I'll classify them in my own mind as people who are still underneath the Jewish spell, even though they're speaking about Jewish action. And but that's my prerogative. That's me, one individual person. Like I said, it's been the same message. There's been no changing of what I said. Infiltrators will change their tone of speech every time they can, depending on who they talk to. That is not me. That is why I catch so much shit from all of you people, is because I stick to my guns. You call me extreme. You call me this. You call me that. It doesn't matter. My message stays the same. And I believe people like myself, my beliefs, the fascist philosophy, the Jewish questioning and solving the Jewish question, I believe our voice in the long run will be the loudest. And I believe that will be the saving grace of this country. And we will go through many trials and tribulations until that day and many battles between ourselves of ideology and different methods.
One minute.
Eventually, one voice will be the loudest and will turn. You'll either have to convert to our beliefs or you'll become the minority. But that voice will be the one to take on our enemy and destroy our enemy and rebuild a just Aryan civilization and usher us into a golden age, is what all of us, with our mentality, with our understanding of the Julius Evola philosophy, of the Savitri Devi philosophy, all of us are yearning for. And that is the goal. The Jews are just a bump in the road to that goal. The Jews are not the end all. They're just the perverters and destroyers of nations. And that's where I'm coming from on that. And like I said, with Scott, you know, I've already said it's, you can take it for what it's for. You can keep calling me Jew. I don't care. You're off my radar from now on. I will never address you again. I will never speak on you again after this conversation. I lowered myself the first time I addressed you. It was my fault. I saw you as someone with potential to eventually be on the same side as me. We've never been on the same side, so understand that. I saw you as someone with potential that will one day, through your own self-education, be on my side, be on our side. And I made that mistake. I will never make it again. That's where it's at. Continue to ad hominem attack me, call me divider Jew, so be it. Get in line with the rest of them. You're not the first. And you're not the last, and I welcome that, because that means I am hitting it home, and I'm getting across. And the more people get militant and active and angry, the more problems our enemy are going to have in the long run. You better believe that. Only through the
we got
we find victory.
We got you at the tail end there. All right. Now I'm going to speak on a couple issues myself here, one of them being the direction that John, I guess, has taken since Scott felt it to take a knee to stand up for him, and neglect to mention that when the forum was going on, you know, the issue with Scott and Quest and John, because I started that forum, I really don't believe in forums, to be honest with you. I think they're an absolute waste of time. I think it keeps people sucked in and talking to the choir. But I started one because so many people thought that they needed to go on forums all the time, and I was disappointed at all the other forums out there, so I started one. Well, in the midst of this, I basically gave the reins over to a couple of people and John and Quest. And one of John and Quest equally had a difference with Scott on one of his videos. You know, basically speaking one thing and saying another. And I don't even know the situation, but you know, to singly attack Quest for that incident, which I heard Scott say when it was basically an equal decision between John and Scott or John and Quest on that, and it's kind of unfair. Now, as far as these Black Israelites and this crew that John's supporting, you know, I don't have a problem with John going the pro-Black route, and actually, I actually support the hell out of it. But at the same time, to attack somebody for going a pro-white route is hypocritical, and I would like to see John stay on the path he's on, because God knows the Black community needs somebody that's going to tell them the truth of what's really going on. But at the same token, this is something I attempted to do myself. Not many people know this, but you know, I attempted to contact several individuals to reach out as a white person to the black community, people like Steve Coakley, people like Professor Tony Martin, people like the Nzinga, for the head of the Black Panther Militia, and all these other people that I noticed were speaking out on either Israel or Jews or Zionism or what have you, to say, look, you know, I'm trying to create a racial alliance here for a common enemy. I didn't get any response back. And I talked to a sect of black Israelites, too, and I got tossed around like I was, they claimed they had a publicist. You know, they didn't want to have nothing to do with me, I guess. But, you know, this is what I'm saying. As far as his direction, it's a good direction, but I don't think he's taken a leadership role in it himself. I think he's looking for a group to be leading himself on, and that's, you know, that's kind of neither here nor there, because at this point, like I said, I didn't make the decision to break ties with him. It was the other way around. I will say this about John, though. He's got excellent skills. The guy does excellent work. If you're going to ask me personally what I feel John should do, I would just say personally, I would think he basically needs to leave the fight alone for a little while and take care of his own thing, and then that's all. You know, that's basically all I'm going to say about that. But as far as, you know, as far as Scott goes and Quest, well, here's my thing with Quest, man. Quest has been around, like I said, for a long time, and he's brought things to the table, like his article on positive fascism. This is what I'd like to see. I don't think I've seen that yet from others out there. Like I said, it's good enough to identify the Jew, but to actually identify the cancer and not have a cure. It's got to be a cure. It can't be, you know, like the chemo specialists that burn out the cancer, and they burn out the good cells, and the cancer comes right back again. We have to better ourselves. So this is one of the issues that I've been noticing, that Quest has a very valuable addition to this. You know, I wouldn't call this a movement, because it's really not. It's a big joke, to be honest with you, that, you know, nobody gets along, but, or nobody's on the same page. Let's say people get along just fine, but yeah, that's basically where I'm at. What we're going to go do is go ahead and pass this on to Scott, last four rounds here. I'm going to put a twist on this. This twist is going to be, you're going to have to speak on behalf of everybody in the panel in a positive light and what they've done good. And I know I didn't warn none of you guys about this, but this is what I want to see. I want to see each one of you guys specifically say what they liked that each one of the other person on this panel has brought to the table. So there will be absolutely no attacks, no gripes, no complaints, no nothing. And then from there, we'll come back to the end of this round. We will start taking calls. So I'm going to go ahead with Scott here. Scott, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I feel more than 10 seconds on that. I'm really not familiar with Goyim and Pride's work. I think I've seen some things, but everything I've heard has been great. Same with you. And obviously, I pointed out already that some of Quest's videos were informative, half of them, and speaking to the point, and I would utilize those in the past if I thought that they were positive. As far as, I want to address a couple of things, though, it's not to attack anybody, but you cannot criticize someone for changing their message when they're evolving. We're not born with this knowledge. As a matter of fact, we're deliberately meant not to have it. So you cannot fault someone for just coming to realize these things. It's a matter of what you do with that knowledge, and you use an intelligent approach to reach the audience. I'm here to reach the average person. I spoke from a white perspective, but I've done so, especially recently, with the understanding and the compassion towards others, working with them towards common goals. Even if you are a white nationalist, even if you are a black nationalist, and you want to have your own land, and the people in the middle can have theirs, the first thing that has to be taken care of and addressed is the Jewish control over all of us.
Can I ask you a real quick question, Scott? I don't mean to interrupt in your time. Can I ask you a real quick question, though?
Go ahead.
What would be your solution, some of the ideas of solutions that we could have on an overall basis to the Jewish question?
Well, as I said, just in my transition, it's just to work with other people. Not that I've forgotten about the racial concerns that I have as a white person, and I do speak from a white perspective a lot of times, of course I do. But, as I said, I use a more intelligent approach to work with other people, and I don't have to sit here and go off all day about black crime and the stuff that I used to talk about without now having an understanding of where that stems from, or at least the fact that the Jewish media and power structure has a negative influence on them just as it does on us. So it's offering an understanding towards other people. When the average person comes along, and that's what we're here for. We're not here to preach to the choir. Everyone that's listening in on this call right now knows this already. They know these facts. They know these things. But we need to reach out to the average person. And that's difficult enough to do as it is, but at least if we have people from other races and we're united in that message, that's critical. That's the most critical thing that I could point out or suggest that anyone does. And no white person out there has any more motivation or reason to have issues with blacks or any other race than I do. I've been stabbed a couple times, and I've been in more fights and everything that you know, I pointed out several times. So I have just as much reason as the next man. And I'm just as concerned for the future of the white race as any white person out there, as any racially conscious person. And if you're the type of person that needs to use derogatory terms, by all means, do that. Go do that on Stormfront or in some place like that. But don't come into the mix here and pretend to be working with people of other races. And then on the flip side of that, saying those types of things, it just doesn't look well. And that wishy-washiness, yeah, you might not be, and I'm not just speaking to Poitzer, I'm speaking to anybody, but you might have a definitive message against Jews, but if you want to just take it from a white perspective, then do so. Don't play both sides of the fence. And use your head here. And I do have to respond real quick. One thing that he said as far as attacks, I never attacked Quest. The attack came from him. I'm not here to make friends. As I said, I can't say that enough times. And the attack, that's just like a Jewish tactic, to call someone hateful and at the same time wish death upon them. That's the same type of thing that's happening here, to actually sit there and accuse me of attacking and calling him Jewish and all these other things. I did that after the fact, and it was well after the fact, and I've let these things go, and I won't say another word after that. As far as he's concerned, I've never tried to make this a personal issue. I don't care if he's Jewish or not, but there is a danger in anyone that's delivering the message that he's delivering, where it's anger and animosity and all this, you know, emotion. Well, we need to be intelligent about this stuff. I don't care if he knows 100 times more about the Jewish question than I do. It doesn't matter. But if you're going to have that approach and you're going to speak only to whites in that manner and turn them against other people and the things that have gone on here, it's counterproductive, to say the least.
All right. We got you in for your five there. I'm going to go ahead and bring on Quest here. Now, Quest, like I said, we're going to try to keep a positive note here, and on a positive note, kind of what you like about everybody on the panel as far as the positives they've done. If that gets short-winded, you can go ahead and describe what your solution to problem would be.
Okay. First, you, Mike, like you already said, when we first got in contact, we weren't agreeing on everything. We were on different beliefs on the Jewish question. But in you, I saw something very valuable. You had heart. You were willing to take it out there to the streets. You had this fire in you that you don't see in too many people. I saw that as very valuable from day one. And even through our disagreements, and like you brought up earlier on our test show, when we even got to the point where I told you to lose my number, it was I always wished the best for you, and you always had the heart, and that's always been a positive thing about you. You got that fire in you, and many people don't. And I always appreciate that, and I always will be attracted to people like that because I know that's what we need. Robert, his video, Jeopardy video, was great. To this day, I love that video, and his Illuminati video were two very good videos that I would promote everywhere I can if they're even still around. Those were two very good videos from him. I think they hit home very good on those subjects, the media control and this fake Illuminati, diverting from the Jewish question. I think those two videos were awesome. I think he does very good work. We have our disagreements overall, but I think he has hit some out of the park, and especially with a video that's featured on David Duke's page now, too. It's another good video. He's had some very good videos, and I do appreciate that, and I do see those do good. Goring Pride, another one. When we first met, when I first became aware of him, like with many people, we didn't agree on much. I just see GP as blossoming now. He's opening his mind to a whole bunch of other things that he did not know existed. And in the long run, these will make him a better man, regardless of where this fight goes, if this fight even starts. I think he'll be a better man for the new philosophies he's picking up on. And I think that's reflecting in his videos, especially his recent videos. I thought his JWO and, you know, the homosexual agenda video was awesome. He hit it from all angles. It can't be refuted. No one can disprove anything he said in that video. And those are the kind of videos we need. So I see all positive coming from that. As far as solutions, like I said, I'm a strong believer in Arianism. Many people go to NA, AA to save themselves. Many people go to God, whoever their God is, to save themselves. I got saved in the oddest place. I got saved in a prison cell reading Mein Kampf, and it blew my mind to what a degenerate person I was. It opened me up to how selfish I was in my life. It opened me up to what is a great society. And I feel they had the right direction of moral righteousness, of people bettering themselves. The Jews have capitalized on our vices. It's become a profit industry for them. I think we need to rid ourselves of this. I think through positive fascism, through moral, you know, upright beliefs and Aryan beliefs, Aryan activities. And I mean Aryan, I mean a person of nobility and honor. Aryan is not a racial term. Aryan is a term of someone's actions. I think through those actions, that is the way to destroy the Jew. Once we rid ourselves of their degenerate vices that they put upon us, and this is for every race, once every race better themselves, they have no chance. They can only survive in a filthy environment. They can only thrive in a filthy environment. And once a society becomes morally righteous, they're in trouble. They can never survive in those societies. I think that is our solution to the Jewish question, bettering ourselves and becoming Aryanistic in our beliefs and our views. And like I said, that is not a racial term. That is a term of action. No one. I strive to be Aryan. No one can claim to be Aryan unless you live by the actions. And I'll tell you what, I've met very few in my life, and that's what I'm striving for, and that's what I'm striving for everyone else to see and become. And that's what I feel is the best solution, is the most realistic solution, and the overall goal of a better society.
All right, we got you 5 minutes there. We're going to go ahead and bring on GP. That sounded very well. All right. All right, GP, go ahead, and I'll give you the next 5 minutes here.
All right, thanks. Yeah, as far as speaking positively about the other people on the show, you know, Mike, I probably wouldn't be involved in a lot of this stuff if it wasn't for you. I kind of grew along with you, lagging a little bit behind there for a while, and then I started, you know, growing outside of that and outside of just your site. But I remember, I've checked out your site diligently for quite some time. You've done a lot of great work, especially, you know, confronting different people, making videos, and then in your contribution to Missing Links. That's all been really great work, and I have yet to have a dispute with you or actually many other people yet. As far as Scott, man, I first came across his videos, and I was like, man, who is this guy? This guy's really, he's really taking it to the Jew, man. He's really smashing him. So, I have nothing bad to say about Scott. As far as Quest, man, as you mentioned, we didn't agree a lot when I first, when I very first saw his stuff, I was like, oh, man, this guy's really cool. And then I remember talking to Mike, and he's like, oh, that guy's a Nazi. Well, we better not talk to him. And I was like, oh, okay. And then later on, I got to actually talk to him a bit, and that was actually through John's interview with him that really opened up my mind to being able to hear things from maybe a more pro-white perspective, and now I'm pretty open to all of it. And Quest is definitely, he's definitely researched this stuff for a very long time, and through conversations with him, I've learned a lot and been able to see through other people's views. And doesn't necessarily mean I always agree with them, but we came to a lot of conclusions on agreement in certain areas. I would like to say that I do think it's a little bit sad that we couldn't come to a little bit more of an agreement tonight. But if that's how things have to roll, that's how they have to roll. But everyone knows that I'm more than willing to work with anyone on the subject until people start openly attacking me and calling me, a Jew or whatever it may be. But, even then I kind of just ignore that stuff and keep going on. But, I see, I think that we really can, as far as solutions, I think that the best road that we can take at the moment is, at the very least, not attacking each other and just spreading the message. And then wherever possible, we can unite. And the more that we can, if we possibly get a conference going on or a United Gentile Front kind of thing going on where we can all just unite and focus on what we agree on and spreading this message, because all of you know, this is a lot more people have, I hate to use the term woken up, the whole AJ crowd, but a lot more people have woken up in recent years I mean, you can just see even three of us, you know, it's been the past couple of years for just the three of us, or the three of us on here, you know, excluding Quest. So, I mean, you can see it's happening, and I really do think that leaders will emerge, and I think that we need to at least put that information out there for them if we are not to become them. But I think that we can all play a consistent part in spreading a message. And I really I also have to commend Quest on mentioning the stuff about morality, and really, because it really does start with the individual. We've got to root out these destructive and corrosive behaviors that we have in ourselves if we ever expect to do this. You know, I mean, if we're getting drunk every night, or you know, going to strip clubs and just participating in this degenerate behavior, you know, that can be used as blackmail, and also it's just not a very upstanding, you know, that's not leading by example. I think we need to lead by example in this, and be the best people that we can be, and really help out and promote Gentile communities with Gentile values. And even if someone has a pro-black message or a pro-white message, whatever it may be, as long as it's not anti anybody else, you know, that's great. And also, I'd just like to add, John has helped wake up a lot of people, and he has great, great skills. And I have no problem working with him. I've never had a problem with him individually, and I don't expect to. And you know, there may be things that we disagree. I don't agree with anyone on here 100%. But I don't see that as, you know, I'm not going to focus on the negative. I'm going to focus on what can I do? How can I help spread this message? And that's pretty much all I'm about. So thanks.
Awesome. Awesome. Appreciate it. Perfect timing there. All right. Well, I'm going to put my five minutes of sense in here. And then after that, we're going to start taking calls. If you want to call in, again, that number is area code 724-444-7444. You know, one of the things I realized when I was looking at all this mess and I was identifying who these people were, where they come from, what they think, you know, looking at their protocols, the things they do, I started to realize, I'm like, this is a fairly easily identifiable group of people, whether you take it halfway or you take it all the way or whatever. You can identify that there is a Jewish problem out here. Even, I know some people like to softly call them Zionists or whatever have you, but then you start to realize, you know, just like Quest was saying, they cannot survive on their own. They are a cancer, a parasite. So, therefore, they have to have people to feed off of. People like us who feed off their poisons. Like, I'm a smoker. You know, I do drink, too. So, you know, when I sit here and say we need to better ourselves, I'm including myself in this. So, that's one of the biggest points we need to realize is that I begin to start to look at it as the Jew isn't the problem. It's us. It's the all of our actions. It's the way that we feed into them, and it's the way that we believe into them. And then I started realizing, you know, in their protocols, they consider the masses to be cattle. And I thought, well, you know, maybe there's something to be learned from this. Maybe there is some truth to the idea, because, you know, I learned even coming up, you know, doing the 9/11 conspiracy movement, that, you know, people just didn't want to hear about problems. They didn't want to be responsible. They wanted to be cattle. And this is one of the differences from just a few months ago when I was out here like, oh, we need to get people to, you know, to talk, you know, to expose these people. And I'm going, nobody wants to do that. First of all, the biggest issue I run into with people, whether it be locally or even online, is courage. Just nobody has the balls to actually stand up and say anything, at least. And I'm thinking, man, if it comes down to a war, or it comes down to death, and it comes down to actually having the fight, because don't let it be mistaken. These people are not just going to give the reins up because we're talking about them and making videos, or because I'm out in the street holding up a sign saying Israel did 9/11. That's not going to happen. The inevitable is going to happen, is if the people, and it'll probably be a small minority. That's one thing I like to get past people, is never going to be the majority, never has, never will. But the small minority of people we need that have to have a very definitive education on what we're dealing with, so that we can have some unity together and so that we can deal with the problem. But as far as the majority of public, you know, when they mention, like I said, when they mention in a protocol, they do want to be cattle. That's why these people are able to be parasites off of them, because they like entitlements and poisons and everything else. This is why, you know, when I started reading Quest's article on positive fascism, the word fascism to me right away was, no, oh, no, you know, constitutional republic, Bill of Rights, And I realized, I said, well, a fascist government doesn't even have to be that far off from what we have now, except you would empower, you would have a transparent government that has the power, not even a government, but a leader of a nation that would have the power to stop. Like, let's say we had, let's say right now I was in the White House and I wanted to change everything. I wouldn't have the power to do it. They got all the other pedophiles and greedy, money-hungry Masons and other Jews throughout the government. I would be pretty much powerless. So that's what they've been able to do, is they're able to take in the masses and put them in this big government structure. But if you had a government where you actually had a leader that had the power, and I understand the argument that this same leader could be tyrannical, but look at what we're in right now. Look at what communist Russia was at one point, you know. That was a huge government, and nothing stopped from the people getting killed by the tens of millions. But if you had an actual real leader that had the power, and it was transparent, that is what appeals to me. And that's what, you know, I really reconsidered, you know, the ideas of fascism and pretty much just a dictatorship, because they want to be told what to do. It's just a matter of a fight almost. It seems like to me, like, you know, nowadays I'm looking at this mess, I'm like, it's a fight between Jewish cattle herders and non-Jewish cattle herders. You know, the people still want to be taken care of. They still want a leader to make the decisions for them. They still want to be told what to do. You know, and that's the sorry truth of all this. And that's why I think it comes down to, you know, I've been in many arguments with people. I'm like, look at the streets. You know, nobody wants to hear this. Nobody wants to be responsible. Nobody wants to have the courage to face this stuff. So that's why we need leadership. And then in that leadership, we need unity. And in order to have that, we got to address some real issues here. Now, I'm going to go ahead and bring on some callers, if we even have any at this point. I'm going to check the board here. It doesn't look like we have any anybody on calling in. So if you want to go ahead and call in, and that, like I said, that number is 724-444-7444, and you have to just type in the caller ID number 16999 when prompted. And like I said, you have to excuse my big mouth kid. I'm going to go ahead and give the mic over to Quest to kind of elaborate on his positive fascist article, and we'll get a caller, and I'll just go ahead and jump in there and bring the caller online. Quest, we got you on air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. Okay.
All right, go ahead.
You were saying, like, if we got into, like, if you got into be the president, you wouldn't have no power to do anything. Well, that's exactly what the protocol spoke about. They spoke about turning the leaders of nations into stewards of nations, which means they can easily be replaced. So this term of leader is meaningless now because we have no real leaders. It's like you said, it's a whole bunch of pedophiles, self-gratification, money-hungry, ego-eccentric people that, you know, all have the same mentality when it comes to the degeneracy of our society. And you really can't win with that. One person can't change that. That was the great thing about the fascist philosophy, is it put a focus on a better goal, and it gave a goal to the people to reach. And I think that's what we've been missing. I think with my positive fascism article, I tried to touch on how we can implement the fascist philosophy into our modern-day government, into making it a morally righteous scene, a better society for all, more peaceful existence, a society where people, where the meaning of existence was not materialism. It was not to live and die working just to obtain material items. It has a greater meaning of life, a greater meaning of yeah, and someone just put on the form, it's a Kali Yuga, and, you know, that's exactly what we're in now. We are in that stage, and we are hoping for the golden age. That's what we believe the fascist philosophy will bring forward. And many people, and this is why the word fascism is hated by everyone, just like the word Hitler is, because you've been trained to think that. And throughout public schools and college, they've been told, oh, fascism, fascism. Well, fascism is the alternative to the two
questions
of capitalism and Marxism, yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you. We do got a caller on the line. I'm going to bring him on with us. Go ahead, guest. You're on the line with us. You got a question for a specific person?
No, it's for everybody. I want to know if John is the only one that has done occult initiations that's associated with prothink.org.
Okay, I'll answer first. This is Quest. I've never been involved in any occult or anything like that. I do study paganism, Roman and Scandinavian paganism, Greek paganism, I think there's a lot of positive you can draw for. I think very much positive you can draw for that. Study Christianity and Islam, but never the occult. And I'll kick it to whoever else is going to answer.
Well, I can't honestly answer for John. I wouldn't speak for him. I'd let him answer those questions. Unfortunately, he hasn't joined us tonight. But as far as me and occultism, I haven't. I honestly haven't studied too much of it myself. So I haven't ever subscribed to it. As far as like religious things go, I'm pretty firm supporter as far as Christianity and Islam go, because the core ideology that's pushed within both of those has to do with morals and has to do with structure. I believe those are going to be two powerful proponents to fight against these people. If you can imagine, like, let's say the Christian Zionist Church, like, you actually got some leaders in there that, you know, told the truth. You have a huge crowd of devout people that are going to stand on what they believe in. I mean, because look at how good they support Israel right now, because they believe that that's what's right. Unfortunately, their lying leaders that sleep with little boys and girls are the ones responsible for their brainwashing. The same with a lot of the American people because of the media system. But as far as occultism goes, I'm not too into that. I don't know too much about it. Go ahead and let Scott come on the line here and answer that with us. And then after that, GP, you can go ahead and answer on your own too. So go ahead, Scott.
My only experience in a church is when I was in college, this real pretty girl asked me to go to church with her, so I went. I don't know anything about the occult or religion or anything else, so I'll pass that on to GP.
Yeah, I've never had any association with any sort of occult, anything. But I did want to comment, if I could, a second. You know, we were talking before about, personal responsibility. And, you know, we have all... Is that cool?
Go ahead.
We've all, it's very obvious to see that the masses, the goyim, as they call us, have been misled and have been victims of the Jew. But, as you know, if you are listening to this radio show right now, you are no longer a victim. You need to stand up and take personal responsibility for the Jewish influences that have that have affected you. When you know that there's a problem, you are no longer a victim and you can start working on it. There's not one of us who has not been affected by it. But I think it's up to us as the pioneers of this to really step up to the plate. So when we get our leaders in there, we can, as other people mentioned, the masses always need to be led, but we need people in charge who are going to lead them in the right direction. And that starts with us. I basically said piece on that, and as far as, you know, we were talking about before a little bit about positive fascism and republics and all that stuff and the whole, you know, I was involved in the whole Ron Paul deal for a long time, and I realized that was just fake as anything. Even if there were a lot of real people involved who really believed in that message, I think that message is null and void at this point. And if you look at, I'm actually looking at the protocols online right now. I was trying to find where it says basically that we created their constitutions, we created these republics. If you look at no one denies, I don't think anyone on here denies the immense Jewish power that exists in the world today. And if you look at almost every single country in the world, what type of government is it? It's a republic. To argue that a republic or a democratic republic is the way to go, I think is a joke. This is what's pushed. This is the new world order, whatever you want to call it. I call it the Jew world order, but, you know, whatever it may be. And if you look at the protocols, like I said, I can't find the exact part in there. It talks about how they pushed and we made their constitutions weak. We made their constitutions have flaws in them. And I just do not think that is the solution. By any means, I really liked Quest's positive fascism article. Of course, I didn't agree with everything in it, but I actually got permission from him to change a couple things and possibly post that as my own views at some point. I have not finished editing it yet, but yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I mean, I just think it's important that people read the protocols because that really is a blueprint for what's going on right now. Not much has changed in their plan that I can tell. It's being pretty much followed to the line, as far as I can tell, from my research. Of course, I wouldn't doubt they'd have other use a lot of other deals, but it's the same principle. It's the same principle that principles they've used throughout history. If you look, I mean, you can look at writings from other people, in the past, and it's exactly they're doing the exact same thing. I just think they've gotten somewhat better at hiding it, but at the same time, we've gotten a lot better at exposing it, and we're starting to catch on. But as far as the positive fascism goes, I think that's, there can be a lot of criticisms of it, and I've been the worst critic myself, but that's in order to strengthen it and try to find the best form that I could, and I've been coming up with scenarios of how the best way it could work, and I've been talking with other intellectuals on the topic, and trying to hammer something out. That's just an ongoing project I have right now.
All right, and I think go ahead, Pro Truth. We got you on the line with us. Just go ahead and you got 30 seconds to either comment or ask a question.
I'm gonna make a general comment, an observation. I mean, what I believe contributed to the little scuffle between Quest and Scott. I mean, I agree with both sides. I mean, they put out really great information. I mean, I spoke to Quest a lot on the phone, and I mean, what I'm going to say is he'll probably understand it more. I mean, what I think is, most people here have got their start from the internet, and the internet is very quick and fast. I mean, you get a lot of information. It's very condensed. It's not like going to the library, sitting down with a book, and you build up with it, with a book. But on the internet, it's like it's almost like a fad, I'd say. It's like in the back of your mind, you listen to this, it's like you've been lied to all throughout your life with all these, fads. They change very quick these days, if you've noticed. It's not like back, 200-300 years ago.
All right, we got to make it quick here. We got 30 seconds here.
I'm just saying, it's just that the internet is very quick, and people, they pick it up quick, and they mistaken the reality as just, you think that just because they've learned something, it's like it's there happening, but it's really in their mind, so... And then they detail on. It's like.
All right. We got another caller on here. Approach, we didn't mean to cut you short, but I did say I was going to stay very militant about the 30 seconds, and I'm sorry if you get any offense to that, but we do have other callers. I'm going to bring a guest on. You're on the air with us. Guest, go ahead and say hello.
Hello?
There you are. That's you.
Oh, wow. Okay. My question is for everyone there, and it basically revolves around the concept. It sounds like y'all don't really believe much in the Constitutional Republic. And my question is, have you guys studied the groups that try to go through the right routes, for instance, like We the People, in the term of the concept that our Constitution has the right of redress, and our judicial system nor our legislature or executive branch does not allow for the right of redress? And bottom line is, what do you think about these groups that are going that route, and what do you think about the Constitution?
All right, we're going to go ahead, and thanks for the question. We're going to go ahead and come on here. Go ahead, Quest, you on?
Yeah, could you repeat what he was asking? He broke up a lot, Mike.
All right, let me go ahead and bring him back on here. Go ahead and re-ask that question.
Hello?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead and re-ask that question. Is this the same guest we just had?
This is my question is basically revolving around, I mean, I understand that y'all kind of don't like the idea of a constitutional republic, but have y'all studied the other groups that have tried to go the route to redress our grievances, which there are, like, We the People is very active in this, and, I mean, just what do you think of the fact that I think a lot of our problems could be solved if we could redress our grievances through the Constitution. If you read the Declaration of Independence, you can see that. But anyway, what do you all think of all that, and what do you think of the Constitution?
All right, I'm gonna go ahead and answer this question first, because I have quite a bit of experience with dealing with other groups like We the People and all this. The problem is that these groups out here, like John Birch Society and all these other. You dig in and you look at the leadership in there and wonder why they're not addressing issues, and it's because you find a bunch of Jews in it. And that's the actual truth there. You find a bunch of Jews in every movement. 9/11 conspiracy movement is comprised of 90% Jews. That's why they always want to blame George Bush and U.S. government on things. So yeah, these other movements, I've looked into a lot of them, and unfortunately, you know, like I said, the Ron Paul movement with a financial advisor, last name is Schiff. I don't know if that's the same Schiff family that owns the Fed Reserve, but we'll just leave it at that, or we'll just leave the fact that he sucked up $30 million and a ton of millions of hours of activist work and then dropped out like a bad habit and basically killed the whole 9/11 truth movement that was growing back then and realizing that Israel and a bunch of Jews did 9/11 instead of the New World Order. But as far as the Constitution and Bill of Rights, I was a huge person that stood behind those ideologies and stuff like that until I realized that that was a gift that the founding fathers gave to us. And here's what you see nowadays is you see a bunch of people who are given a gift that said, you know, if you ever have a tyrannical government or if you ever had this and this and that, it was up to the people to rise up and take care of issue. You know, the founding fathers, if they were actually here right now, they'd be jumping on horses loading muskets and going absolutely nuts. They're rolling in their graves because there's a bunch of cowards and sissies in this country. And I love the fact that people run around going, oh, they're not going to take my gun from my cold, dead hands. But in Hurricane Katrina, I didn't see anybody get shot. You know, everybody lay down like, you know, I didn't see anybody. I mean, excuse me if there was. I'd like to know about it because I'd like to commend them and give them a big prize on the website because they actually stood up for something. You know, this is the same thing I found when it came down to activism about 9/11, especially locally with people I've dealt with locally for years. I can never get them to even mention on a sign that Israel even had anything to do with it, and they all see missing links. They all know the deal, but yet they would rather blame their own president and the government that they live in under than in a foreign nation that they've openly caught red-handed doing 9/11. This is the problem we have, is the founding fathers gave us a gift, and we got a bunch of cowards who have probably been testosterone take out of them, you know, in men, what, 50% of this country, the testosterone rates dropped. So the warrior blood that was in this country probably 200-some years ago is gone now. The feminization of men in this country has been explicitly spread across everywhere, and it just is it's sissies. It just really is. It's sissies and cowards. So therefore, this is why I've warmed up to the idea of fascism. These people need to be told what to do. They need to be re-educated. They need to be have real morals and values instilled in them so that we can defeat these people that are poisoning us with that. So that's where I come from as far as that goes. And I'll let Quest come on and go ahead and give your peace of mind on that whole idea.
Okay. Well, as far as constitutionalism, what you're looking at today is the evolution of the Constitution. You know, this is the result of what the Constitution has become 200 years later. I think in the late 1700s, it was a valid thing and it was very good and helped this country get off its feet. But this is the result of it. We're living in it right now. This is what happens with constitutionalism. So, of course, I'm opposed to that. Of course, there's many things from our Constitution that we can adapt in a new society and very positive things. But as far as returning to that, no. This is what happens. Welcome to constitutionalism 200 years later, modern day. That's all I have to say on that.
All right, very well said. I'd also like to bring up the fact that gun rights, I mean, everybody's afraid that their pistols, that Obama's going to take away their assault rifles and pistols nowadays. But the fact was that firearms didn't limit yourself to just sidearms and rifles and everything. And now what you got is you got a communist government who is far out-armed the public. You know, I don't think they've ever specified that we weren't allowed to have our own, you know, heavier weaponry than what we're allowed to have right now. And then just people just cry. That's all they do, cry. Oh, they're going to take our guns away. It's like they did in Australia. Took all the guns away. Oh, well, same thing in Britain and Canada. You know, they started stripping people's guns. Oh, just cry about it. You're taking away my rights. Rights are a fictitious thing. Rights are only going to stand in the form of you fighting for them. And if you're just going to complain and whine about them, I ain't got no respect for that. I got respect for somebody who's going to stand up for their rights and do something about it. But on that note, we're going to bring out Scott about that. Go ahead, Scott.
Well,
Scott,
as I always preach, man, we need awareness first and foremost. This whole entire system needs to be turned upside down. But above and beyond that, the average person needs to know who's behind the system, because we can change this, that, and the other, but as long as the people that are still there in charge are still there in charge, then nothing's really going to change. So to me, that's the first priority, is just simple awareness, and that's the approach that I take, and I try to switch things up as much as I can to try and reach out to people. And I'm learning as I go, as I've already mentioned. And if there's one thing that needs to be stressed to everyone, is just to realize who's behind these things as far as working towards a solution, as far as, you know, tearing the Constitution up and starting all over from scratch. That's where I'm at.
All right, sounds good. That's pretty much where I'm at myself. All right, and hey, GP, we're going to bring you on with your thoughts on this. Go ahead.
All right, I don't have too much more to add beyond the fact that, you know, I mean, I guess a lot of these points have been brought up. You know, I think a lot of people's hearts are in the right place. Like I said, I used to be, you know, all, you know, for a strict constitutional government and all that. But, you know, I've come to the conclusion that, you know, that kind of libertarian-esque idea, you know, the type of libertarian government would never work for a country like America. It would never work for a big country. And even small countries would struggle with something like that in reality. Because, first of all, it's very easy to corrupt. Second of all, I mean, even if you got exactly what you wanted, the problem is there has to be a large amount of personal responsibility being taken on part of the large majority of individuals. And I just don't ever think that's going to happen. And if you look at the history of the world, you know, the masses have always been led. They've always needed to be led. The question is whether or not we're going to have a bunch of, trying to be nice here, but a bunch of Jews who do not have our best interests at heart leading the people. You know, they're trying to enslave us, degrade us, and kill us off in every way possible. And I just don't want to put up with that anymore. And I don't think that's what the people want either. I think a lot of people can see the problems going on. A lot of people don't know a solution. They're not even solution-oriented, but they can recognize the problem, and we need to be there to tell them exactly what the problem is. And beyond that, look, here's a solution. Here's how we can fix this. We better try something instead of nothing. But I think that a libertarian, you know, or a strongly, you know, I think that's a lot of what people are talking about when they talk about constitutional republics, at least the people calling in so far. And a lot of these groups, you know, We the People and the whole Ron Paul deal and all those things. I just think I just don't think it would ever work if you really look at the, if you look at history and you look at people, I just don't think that would ever work. And I think what we do need is a stronger, more transparent government that, that can deal with, some of these dire problems that are being affected right now. We need leaders who are going to be promoting positive lifestyles of living, you know, positive things in our society instead of this degenerate crap that we're getting right now, which is destroying it. You know, and that's the point. You know, a lot of people don't want to come forward because they think that they have a checkered past or something, or, oh, they could bring up this or that. You know what? Look, you know, John said that he's done some pretty outrageous things in his past. You know, he's done some pretty crazy sexual things he's mentioned and hasn't gone into specifics. Not that I don't think anyone wants to hear that anyways. But the point is I don't care what you've done in your past. I care what you're doing right now. You know, if you can start living better right now, and no one's going to be perfect, but do the best that you can. Stop being a victim and start taking care of yourself. You know, your own body physically, mentally, and spiritually, and start moving forward from there. I think that's the solutions we need to start implementing as far as that's concerned. But, I mean, like I said, I don't care what you've done in the past. Don't worry about that. Worry about right now. What can you do now? And don't be scared to speak up. Don't be scared to come out here and talk about this stuff because it needs to be talked about desperately. All right.
All right, GP. And we got another caller on the line here. Go ahead, guest. You've been holding on for a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello. The other day in a forum, I noticed there was a controversy over Quest not revealing his real name. I would like to know his and Gwen Pride's, if that doesn't trouble him, and too bad.
All right. We'll go ahead and Quest and Gwen Pride, what you both on there. Go ahead.
Okay. My real name is Shecky Goldsteinberg. I work at the bank as a manager. No, hey, my real name is Everin Welshon. That's the first time and the last time you're going to hear it. I hope that fills whatever question it needed to you. Real names, anyone can make up a name and you wouldn't know the difference, but that is my real name. And like I said, that's the first time and the last time. So that's my answer.
All right, go ahead, GP.
That's a very legitimate question. At this point in time, I'm in a spot where I could, if I openly proclaim my name, like, trust me, if they want to know who I am, they already know who I am. That's not an issue. But if I started openly talking about my real name, I could be have some serious vocational consequences, and it could definitely inhibit me spreading the message later on. I don't plan to always just be going pride, but at this current juncture, I'm not going to be releasing that information. And you know, and you can check out my message and all that stuff. And if that's a problem for you or anyone else, you know, I understand that. But I just know personally that would not be in my best interest or in the best interest of me spreading the message at a later time when I can become more established in my personal, you know, more established personally, financially and whatnot.
Yeah, and I would just have to say, as far as for someone like myself that does have my name public and pretty much everything else, that I do talk to GP and Quest quite often, and I personally do know their names, and I retain their name private as they choose. But as far as my credibility goes, I can verify that both of them guys are, you know, as far as I'm concerned, as legit as I can verify them to be. Like I said, I talk to both of them several times a week. Now, say someone like the owner of Judicial Inc., nobody talks to him. Nobody knows who he is. He's got some great information on his site. But at the same time, I couldn't verify that one. Whoever owns that never has spoken to me and never has made himself public. That's certainly been a question that a lot of people have had with that. You know, a lot of people toss around, well, does Eric Cushmead own it? It's so-and-so, and, you know, I don't know. But as far as, you know, as far as Quest and GP both go, they have their own reasons, and that's fine with me. If we got another caller on here, P-Move. Let me go ahead and bring you on. All right, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Mike? This is the Peacetime Movement, man.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not much. I've really been looking forward to hearing from you again. You haven't done too many, you know, any radio stuff, but
well, you remember what happened last time I was on?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I figured. So, but no. What I wanted to say is that I haven't been following all this craziness about people being in the cults and all this stuff. But the question is, I want to see some real proof about, you know, religion as far as Christianity and Judaism and Catholicism and Islam. I mean, all these religions, they all come from a same basic root story that's been passed down and passed down. And even the original books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of the New Testament, they're copies of copies of copies of copies of copies of copies, not even originals. So this, you know, this whole religious argument, I want you to, you know, I want people to really, you know, you and everyone else really clarify this whole, the whole religious argument itself, convince me that, you know, that we should all listen to this imaginary friend that's in our heads that, you know, that was put there at a very young age.
Well, that's a real good point to bring up. This is something right here that me and Quest don't have the same opinion on. I don't know what GP's thing is, but I think Scott had mentioned. By the way, Scott, GP, and Quest, I'm basically going to take all of you guys off mute, so anytime you guys want to jump in and join on, as long as we can play nice together all at once on the phone, that'd be great. But as far as the religion thing goes, I don't look at Judaism being being in the same light as Christianity and Islam. I know a lot of people relate to all three of those being the three monotheistic religions. I don't look at them as like that. I look at Judaism as being a satanic cult and a hijacking of the first five books. And I've made this reference before that basically when I look at the first five books and these so-called Jews or Pharisees back then stole them and then created a Mishnah and the Talmud to basically interpret the things. And first of all, it should be noted, too, that none of the first five books of or what they call the Torah had never mentioned the word Jew in them. But also, it's kind of like what they've done with the Constitution and Bill of Rights. They've taken it and they've interpreted their way. They've parasitically said, well, you know, the Bill of Rights, even though the right to bear arms should not be infringed, actually means you can't have a gun on school, you can't have it loaded in your car, can't do this, can't do that. And I think that's kind of what they did, you know, kind of like the Pharisees back then did with the first five books
the Old Testament, is they've kind of just hijacked it. And this is just my opinion, kind of what my research has brought me to, but I have the highest respect for, say, Jesus who went in the temple and kicked some butt and said, I call all you Pharisees out and Jews, and you know, the fact that he wasn't a Jew. If you guys, I'm sure everybody that's been to my website has seen the evidence to point that Jesus was not what they call a Jew now. Also, and I have big respect for the Prophet Muhammad with Islam. You know, he certainly spoke about it in the Quran pretty heavily. You know, anybody that shake the hand of a Jew, and don't quote me on it right now because I don't have it in front of me, but I remember reading it and liking it. So, Scott, you can kind of toss in your 2 points in token quest. Go ahead.
Real briefly, religion is a system of control. Go back to the idea of showing our name, I mean, giving our name, showing our face. And I'm not going to criticize someone like GP, and after hearing him speak right now, I want to talk to him more going forward. But the time is now. I don't know if you guys realize this, but with, I think the ADL now is working hand-in-hand with YouTube. This is no surprise to anybody. But our time is very limited, and I don't understand what people are waiting for. This is life or death, and there will be bloodshed eventually. I know I don't preach that on my videos because now is not the time. I'm just trying to reach to people to make them aware. But there will be bloodshed. Blood is being shed. Our blood is being spilt every single day. So this is serious. This is not something that we can take and put a half-assed effort into, forgive my language, but I don't understand what people are waiting for. They are killing us. They are poisoning our children. What more does it take for you to stand up? And I got 4 kids, and I got one on the way. Okay, I have a family to take care of. I have concerns, but I let everybody know my name. I show my face. I tell them where I live. And if you know, whatever it costs me, what else do I have to have happen to innocent people, black, white, and everyone else, to stand up against these people? And dare them to come over to my house. Dare them to come take my guns. I'm not here saying I'm come take my gun from my cold dead hand and all this nonsense. I'm backing that up. I'm showing my name. I'm giving my name. I'm showing my face. And if we all did that, if we all took that approach, and again, I'm not here to bash people that aren't, and we all have our reasons, but we would be much more effective. We would be infinitely more effective if we just took that approach. And I just don't understand what people are waiting for. What did you have to lose that I don't have to lose? That's my question to you, and what do you have to have happen before you finally go all the way? 90% of the way, it's not going to do us any good. You have to go all the way.
All right, is it my turn to answer the question?
Yeah, go ahead.
As far as religion, I'm not a believer in any of the three major religions. I'm a believer in spirituality, definitely, and in nature. Personally, I don't think Jesus Christ ever walked this earth. They haven't written about him until 100 years after his death. So I'm not a believer in that, but I definitely see the positive impact good Christianity, good Gentile, non-Judaic Christianity has, and I would definitely try to promote that any way you can. But there's so many people that adhere to those religions and believe it or are devout to it, and I think it can be used as positive like it used to. But personally, I'm not a believer in any of the three major religions.
I really do think from my studying of Judaism that it is not anything like Christianity or Islam, which are both very respectable religions for the most part, even though there has been a lot of Jewish infiltration, especially of Christianity, but also of Islam. But if you look at Judaism and you study it, Michael Hoffman has a lot of great books out about their actual religious beliefs, and he basically makes the point and proves that they are their own God. The Jewish people are actually their own God, and they say that God studies the Talmud. What kind of joke is that? I'm sorry, but that's just laughable. But I mean, they are just so different. If you look at the actual core beliefs of Judaism, it's such a satanic religion. It's supremacist if there ever was one. It's sick the way they talk about Gentiles. I just think that it's diametrically opposed in any way, shape, or form to the other religions. Even though on the outside there are some similarities, but a lot of these similarities have been created in the past 100, 200 years. Especially recently with all this whole joke of Judeo-Christianity. I mean, if you would have talked about Judeo-Christianity with Christians, hundreds of years ago, or even you know, somewhat recently, and they'd be like, "What the hell are you talking about?" You know, it's not the same thing. They've had conflicts, you know, throughout. And personally, I'm not religious. I'm much more spiritual. I'm very big on spirituality, whether it be and open to whatever you choose to believe. That's great. Whether it be Islam or Christianity or paganism or whatever. I've studied a bit of each, mostly Christianity, but I find a lot of things I like in them, and I'm not opposed to them in any way. I definitely am opposed to Judaism. I think that, I honestly do think that, and I think that everyone here can agree, at least I hope so, that whatever your spiritual path is, spirituality is also an important part of self-improvement, you know, some kind of spiritual belief. I think that, you know, I'm not going to denounce any atheist or anything like that, but I do personally think that that's important. Some kind of concept of a God or higher power or spiritual nature is definitely a part of has definitely been a part of the Gentile community's quest. Mentioned nature-based religions and stuff, respecting the environment and respecting, you know, whatever we believe created us and stuff. I think that's important, and it definitely gives you. And if you look at Corneliu Codrinu, his faith kept him strong in his fight against the Jew, and I think that it really. If it wasn't for that, I don't think he could have been the person he has. And if anyone doesn't know who he is, the book For My Legionnaires, The Iron Guard, is an extremely, extremely educational book. He's definitely one of my heroes, so definitely check him out.
Well, I think one of the biggest things missed here, Scott tipped on it a little bit, was either Scott or Peace Sign Movement, tipped on it, a form of control. It certainly is. It certainly is a form of control, a control of moralities. And this is, you know, the whole reason I've been really comfortable lately with the idea of fascism is because most people, like I said, want to stay cattle. They want to be that way. So when you look at this, I go, well, why not embrace Christianity and Islam? Because if you think about it, you know, like the founder of Lutheranism, Martin Luther, man, he railed hard against Jews. He said they must be dealt with harshly. If you deal with them softly, they come back stronger. And I mean, that would why not embrace that? Why not go to your fellow person that's a Lutheran and say that, or traditional Catholics, not the Catholics that honor the Vatican, but your traditional Catholics, which I get quite a few calls of people that go to my website that support that. It's kind of like what Hudson Gibson, which is Mel Gibson's father, promotes. You know, he's written about Jews taking over the Vatican during the 50s or so, or, you know, I'm not really, don't quote me on that, but it's kind of what the pretext of what he writes about. And so you have this basically religious fascism within these religions that teach to keep morality strong. So that would be something that even if you didn't believe in a religion, to strategically embrace in this when we're talking about trying to somehow defeat this Jewish question problem we have here. So yeah, but that's kind of where I'm at with this. Let me see if we got a caller on.
Aren't many Christians taught to actually believe that Jews are the chosen people? And if you are a Christian and they are teaching you that, you should definitely question Christianity, or at least your version of it.
Well, that's the teachers teaching that, but we all know that it's really easy to debunk that. You know, just like that quote, that the article I got on my website about Jesus not being a Jew, that basically nails it right there. You show that to any hardcore Christian, and I have done this. It's really easy to prove that what they're teaching nowadays with this Israel crap and these 12 tribes of these Satanist modern day Pharisees is what they are. They're Pharisees. They study Phariseeism. Which is basically called Judaism now, and that's you know, it's pretty easy to explain, you know, and then when you illustrate their actions, which we all do very well.
Well, they've pretty much infiltrated everything else as well, so religion's nothing, no exception to that rule. When I moved here to Utah, I was going to join them, or at least get involved in the militia here, and everything Israel is and Israel that, and it's just, you know, it's everywhere you look.
No, I completely agree. They've hijacked Christianity very, very hard in this nation, especially. Other nations, they still consider a lot of sects of Christianity to be quote-unquote anti-Semitic. But you have to understand that it's because of the leadership, not because of what's taught in a literal sense. And you know, the core of Christianity, the core of Islam, like I said, GP had made the point that Islam is infiltrated too. Well, this can be said with any group. Obviously, the Jews are going to want to take a group that's powerful
that would rail against them. This is why, you know, Quest brings up a lot of times, you know, within these pro-white movements, they are run and influenced hardcore by Jews. Well, why? Because that would be a huge threat to them. Same with the black community. That's why they started the NAACP. They wanted to take control of that. So they do this, and it certainly is recognizable within the ranks of Christianity as far as man goes. But the teachings, like the moral teachings that instill family values and stuff, are something that can be taken from an embrace. And yeah, unfortunately, it's hard to come out of the, you know, come out from the sidelines of somebody that, you know, you don't know and say, well, you know, actually what you know about Christianity is wrong. But you certainly wouldn't want this group to be on the other side of the fence of you either, you know. So there's got to be some way to embrace them, and certainly it's easy to debunk what these false teachers are teaching in the Christian churches nowadays. I've had success with it personally, to tell you the truth. You know, I've had a couple of neighbors that live in Sheboygan that were hardcore Christians. I mean, they had a motorcycle club for, you know, Jesus and everything else. And I said, you know, the synagogue of Satan that they mention in the Revelations 2.9 and 3.9, and the fact that in John 8:44, you know, which is what I liked about John's work when he was doing a lot of that work when we were together, it's, he was pointing that out a lot of times, getting people on the board with that, you know, and it was very clear to see.
Well, I still say religion is just a system of control.
Oh, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you, but so is fascism, and that's going to have to be the answer. We got a really nasty, let me go ahead and mute there. But I completely agree with you. It's a system of control, but like I said, fascism is too, because people do need to be controlled. Being controlled is not the negative thing. Neither is different, you know, government is not a negative thing. You've got a lot of anarchist philosophies out there, which are by Jews, by the way, that say, you know, control and government is bad. And well, it's not. It's a tool that they're using for their benefit. So let me go ahead and see if I can unmute you, Scott, so you don't have a background noise. All right. We got, actually, we got two more callers on here. We're going to go ahead in Michigan. Go ahead. Michigan?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Mike? This is Amir, the prize fighter from Detroit.
Hey, what's going on, prize fighter?
How you doing, man? Yeah, I gave you an email about 3 months back. I like your work.
No,
I really enjoy it.
I got a picture of you. I saw you in a fight, right?
Yep, that's me.
Yeah, how's it going?
I believe I'm the best fighter in the world, and you know, I'm gonna join you in this fight. You could join me in the cause, and I could be, you know, help you out.
I wish you could have been there when a big dumb Jew punched me in the mouth like a big punk.
Man, I wish I was there, man. I would crack that school skull in. I swear. Listen, but I wanted to thank all you guys, Quest and Scott and all the other guys. I think you guys are real brave for waking up and doing this, and you know, God bless all you guys. I wanted to ask you guys, you know, I'm a Pakistani-American. My parents are from Pakistan, but I was born here in Detroit. But I believe the next false flag operation is going to be, you know, they're going to blame it on Pakistanis, which are really good people, man. And don't just think that the Americans are being duped. I mean, you know, we get Pakistan television here, and they're all lying on Pakistan TV in the native language that it's Al-Qaeda, this, that, and the Bombay attacks. But I wanted to ask you guys, what's your opinion on the next false flag attack, and whether you think it's going to be Pakistan or not, so that way they can get Pakistan's nuclear weapons and make Israel more secure. That's what I think that's going to happen in 2009. So just you guys give me some feedback on that.
Okay, am I on, Mike?
Yeah, you guys are all on.
Okay, hey, Amir, first, I'm glad to hear you from Detroit. That's Warren is my hometown, so well, actually, I was born in Marquette, but Michigan is I love Michigan. That's my home state, and it's sad to see what happened in Detroit, by the way. Yeah, definitely. Of course there's a false flag attack. That's the Jews' nature. We've seen it over and over and over and over again. If not America, many different countries' false flag attacks. Pakistanis, that is, you know, I haven't even thought about that, but that is a good point you bring up, but I haven't even thought about it, like I said. It's definitely going to be blamed on the Arabic Muslims, whatever country, whoever. More likely a terrorist group. Let's say they'll make up some terrorist group, or Al-Qaeda's working out of Pakistan now, like they're pushing now. I can definitely see that taking fruit to the next thing. We definitely know there's another false flag attack coming. We know it'll be blamed on the Arabic Muslims. to secure Israel. And we know the American cattle will go fight over there for the Jews once again. It's sad, but I do believe another one's coming. Who are they going to blame and when? I have no idea. We never do. We can rest assured it's in the Jews' nature. Another false flag attack is coming in this country. Hopefully, the next time they pull it, more people are wise to it, and it'll be their downfall. This time we'll go directly over to Israel and clean out our media and our politicians and everything else alongside Israel.
Well, I tend to disagree, but I'm not Nostradamus here. I predict that they already have the Arabs demonized as much as they need to have them demonized in the American mainstream media. So as I predicted before, I think that their next step is to demonize and to ostracize white nationalists, because those are the two groups that are the most critical of the Jewish power structure. So they've already got the Arabs. Everyone's hating the Arabs. Now if they take white nationalists or concerned whites and do the same thing with them, then the last person that a white person in the United States would ever want to do is identify with one along racial lines in that regard. So there's countless possibilities. One of them, and there's many others, but I just think that they've already demonized the Arabs enough. They need to move on to the next group of people that are highly critical of them.
Yeah, go ahead, GP.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to just start predicting a bunch of stuff, but I think it is very if you look at what, you know, pay attention to the news a little bit, and trust me, I'm no fan of the mainstream media, but it is important to keep up a little bit with what they're telling the masses, because that is very telling about what they're going to do. It's very obvious from a lot of the stuff. In order for them to indoctrinate the average person, they have to kind of lay things out a little bit more than I think they'd like, and show their hand a little bit more than they'd like for us. But I mean, Pakistan has been demonized a lot lately in the media, and I think that the possibility of blaming it on Arabs is very high, or white nationalists, you know. Either way, if you look at what a lot of this recently, a lot of the military action, you know, it's all been geared towards Arabs. They want to crush the Arab world because the Arab world has not put up with their shit. Excuse my language, but it has not put up. They have not put up with the Jew. It's just that's the truth. Of course, a lot of the governments, if not all of them, are controlled, but a lot of the people stick to their religion and to their culture, and they still know a lot of them still know what the truth to a certain extent, and that's what the ADL said that their biggest fear is, and in so many words is European peoples and Arab peoples uniting against them, and I think it's more than just them. I think that includes everybody, but that's their greatest fear, and I think if we can start working together with them. I'm not talking about terrorists by any means, which I don't think there really are many Arab terrorists personally, but if we can start working with the Arab world and start working with the different groups and start uniting people, if you look historically, that has always been what any kind of resistance has been against these people or any form of tyrannical, oppressive people or group of people. Unity has always had to come first, and I think that's what we need to be, you know, now. If you look at Genghis Khan, I mean, he's not, you know, this doesn't have much to do with any of this, but the first thing he did to create his empire was unite the Mongol tribes, you know. It's the same thing, you know, Hitler had to do it. You know, anyone, any kind of leader, you've got to unite. I think that's what we need to be pushing right now, working together as much as possible. Any people who are, you know, are going to try to split the movement up and who are going to go off on tangents and stuff, you know, so be it. I'm not going to start dissing on them a whole bunch, but I just know what I'm promoting personally. And anyone who wants to work with me or the people that I associate with, you know, I think that's great. But, yes, you know, I definitely think that something is probably going to be coming soon. I've heard rumors. I cannot back this up at all, but I've heard rumors of Joe Biden saying something about on the 20th or the 21st of January, something might go down and Obama's going to be tested or something like that. maybe pertaining to something going on in Canada. I'm not really sure. That's just a rumor of what I've heard, but I think it'd be interesting to see how that plays out.
I really wouldn't think that threatened by any concerned white movements at this point, strictly because the white community, say, especially in Europe right now, they certainly aren't putting a fuss about the Holocaust laws. I mean, they're banning the Celtic cross of all things in Germany. They're walking all over whites in America and in Europe, so they're not able to do that in the Muslim world. The Muslim world is still fighting back. They're not having that crap. So I definitely think they've had a very, very, very strong agenda, it seems, even with loose change pushing Pakistan. I never understood that until I realized who they were. But, you know, they've pushed Pakistan as an enemy. And as far as a false flag, a lot of people toss around, the end of the world's coming, You just look at this thing with Mumbai and then this thing back in Yemen. You know, these people were exposed immediately. They can't get away with stuff like there used to be. There's so many people out there that are on immediate watch on these people and exposed as soon as they do something. You know, I talked to actually to Eric Hushman quite a bit about what their next move is. They have to do a dastardly attack. And my best scenario that I think they would have to do would be to do a multiple nuke in America and to really bring this nation down. Because I think what they're going to they're done usurping everything out of this dried up turnip that they possibly could. So they need to knock us out on the way out to using us for a final world war. So that could be a possibility. Who knows what's going to happen. I don't too much jump on any fear-mongering, tactics as far as, I think they're going to do it next week or they're going to do it next year. I got caught up in too many times where it was just a big joke and nothing ever happened, So that would be my synopsis. We've got another call here.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, this is Mike from Toronto.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, how are you guys? First of all, I'd like to thank all you guys for all the hard work you've been doing. And my question actually relates to the last callers and what you guys have been talking about. Specifically with the economy, from everything you guys have researched, I'm just asking what do you think will be their next move with the economy? Because everything that they're talking about on the mainstream, basically they are putting the blame on the bankers. So I'm just kind of wondering how are they gonna pull this off?
Well, that's a very good question, and thanks for your call, Mike. I thought that it was quite interesting that the ADL was crying about it back in October, that financial message boards were blaming Jews for the banks collapsing. We all know what's happened in history when economies collapse in a nation and they figure out who was behind it. So this would kind of coincide with a false flag attack. I believe that, that was something that I'm glad you brought that up because I totally forgot to bring that to the attention, was in order to them to cloud the reason why the economy's collapsing, they have to have a terrorist attack, and it'll benefit them twofold. It'll benefit them to use that as an excuse for why the economy collapsed, and it'll also get Americans riled up, double pissed off for the economy and a terrorist attack to go fight, and that's if they're not woken up enough at this point, to figure things out, which there certainly aren't enough people woken up, or is it going to be enough? Who knows? What do you guys take on? What's your thoughts on that is with the economy?
I agree, and that makes the possibility of a false flag operation more imminent than otherwise it would be. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say something's going to happen tomorrow or next week or whatever. I'm not going to predict such a thing. But another point that I wanted to touch on, it is interesting how they always kind of tip us off, and they kind of let us know what's going to happen. And I've seen a lot of stuff in the CNN and on the websites and on the mainstream media on the television where they've mentioned that they think the next attack by terrorists is going to be using chemical or biological weapons. And I've done extensive research into this, and I've made videos about Dugway Proving Grounds here, and I want everyone to check this out. I'll leave the website, the link on the chat room in just a moment. But I think there's just countless possibilities, but as far as diverting attention away from themselves, it only makes sense that they would do something like that. A natural disaster would be a blessing in disguise for them, but somehow, some way, they have to do something. That's for sure.
I was going to say, the person on the chat forum, Know Your Rights, pretty much said it. He said, hello, Amiro. That's what I believe is at the root of all this economy falling, the dollar going, to the gutter. I think they're going to introduce the Amiro as a way to save our economy, boost us back up, then start this North American Union, which we've all heard about, and implement Canada and Mexico all together. So I definitely see the economy falling as their way of bringing forth the Amiro and they say, hey, we're going to save everyone. And, of course, the masses will cheer it and say, hey, we saved our economy. We got the Amiro. I definitely see that as a way of introducing new currency, which, it's all in the protocols. It's the Jew World Order. It's just just like the European nation, we're going to have the American Union and the Asiatic Union sooner or later. That's their overall goal, and I definitely see that in the future.
Go ahead, GP.
You know, I'm really not going to predict anything on this. It looks like, you know, around the world we're starting to see some stuff happen, like in Iceland and Greece, but I don't think in the very near future that our economy is going to collapse. I just don't. I mean, maybe in the future, and maybe in the near future, but not in the very near future. I don't. And, you know, and there's been so much, and here's the really sad part, is there's been so much fear-mongering by the Alex Jones crowd and by a lot of other people about this kind of stuff that it's really hard to tell anymore. There's so much BS out there, and that's part of their tricks. That's part of what they do. So, I mean, I don't know when we can really expect things. And what I've stated before, when I posted a video of, forget what the guy's name is, he's, you know, the bald-headed guy with the American flag in the background. Mike, you know his name?
Martin.
I posted a video of Martin talking about some of the stuff between Canada and America and some of the stuff that's going on over there right now. And I was like, look, if something bad happens, you know, it's going to happen, you know, have a couple of jugs of water, have something, you know, be a little bit prepared, but I'm not going to tell everyone to go, you know, stack up on everything. You know, if you can do that and you're in that position, that's great. You know, I'd probably do that too. I'm not in that position. So I can, you know, get a little extra canned food, get a little extra stuff, you know, you know, I might go as far as say, you know, have some self-defense, but, you know, I wouldn't dwell too much on that personally, just because I don't think that there's really any way that we're going to be able to predict anything, honestly. So that's just my opinion.
Well, I would also tell people to be prepared, and it's not even about what the Jews may or may not do. Anything can happen. There's so many things that could possibly happen, and I would tell everyone to prepare. It's not about being paranoid. I don't sit here and lose sleep over it. But if something does go down, whether the Jews are behind it or not, I want to be able to feed my kids. And, you know, that's something that I would definitely agree with Martin on. And I've made videos about this. Just, it's good to be prepared.
Exactly. Oh, I totally agree with you, Scott. I mean, I was just saying from my position, you know, and I watched your videos and I posted those, and I thought those were really great. The ones, I forget the exact titles of them, but I downloaded them, and I actually re-uploaded them on one of my accounts that got deleted. But, you know, about being prepared and all that stuff, and definitely if I had the financial means and the living situation where I could do that, I would. But I'm really not in that situation, so I do the best that I can, and I don't worry about it, you know. I mean, I just try to stay sane and focused on what I can do each day, and I'm not, you know, it's very, very easy to get paranoid about this stuff. I'm not saying anyone else on here is, and just totally flip the bricks there and buy $10,000 worth of freeze-dried foods and, you know, figure out, oh, guess what, you know, 2000 wasn't the end of the world. I actually know someone who did that, so, yeah.
Nothing else, you're avoiding inflation. That stuff's good for 30 years, so that's my take on it. I recycle it, and nothing goes to waste, and even if you're on a limited budget, I'm on a limited budget as well. If you spend $100 normally a week at the grocery store, if you can spare another $10 or $20, then eventually it'll accumulate. So nothing has to go to waste if you do it right.
Well, it's not paranoia if it's real, too, also. People got to remember that. They just had a big gun show in Vegas this weekend, a Crossroads of the West gun show. AK-47s have gone up $300, $400 each. I would advise everyone, speaking of being prepared, buy assault rifles and level 4 vests. Now, because those will be the things they take. They will get rid of high cap magazines and all of that. So that's definitely, especially the level 4 vest. Get the level, it's expensive, but those are worth it. Just simple things like that. And as far as all the food and all that stuff that Scott and GP already spoke on. But those are definitely things I'm seeing. And they're so expensive now. And if you didn't, you know, 6 months ago buy your assault rifles, then you're going to be paying an extra dollar. But it's well worth it. Get that now before you can't get them.
Yeah, and only get it if you're actually going to have the courage to shoot it, too, to save your family, but yeah.
Yeah, don't get that speed. My cold, dead hands and have the government come in to take it from you and you don't shoot off a shot, then it's completely useless.
Well, yeah, exactly. One of the major things, too, is gas mask. Which, you know, John did an excellent video on this guerrilla warfare, Sons of Liberty guerrilla warfare training, which I still have up on my website somewhere if you search for it. But, you know, he breaks down a lot of the equipment if you're looking – if you're really looking to get seriously prepared, which, like, you know, like Scott was saying, it'd be foolish not to be prepared no matter what happens. You know, a meteor could crash on into the ocean or something, you know. But, yeah, to be prepared, I certainly have been a big advocate of that
of having that and not needing it versus needing it and not having it would be kind of foolish. So, but yeah,
I wanted to throw in one thing as well, and these are just rumors that I'm hearing, but it makes sense that they're going to control the ammunition in this manner, is to use a propellant that goes bad after a year or two, and that's very dangerous. Just thinking that the possibility of them doing that. So, I would also recommend if you can afford to stock up on ammunition, and it's very difficult to find them now. Everything's on back order, but do it while you can. The price is only going to go up.
Yeah, you know, just let me speak on that real quick, too, because you just reminded me of something. There's someone close to our family who actually trains. He's a marksman and a gunsmith, and he trains Las Vegas Metropolitan Police and Arizona Police shooting. The rumor he's hearing, and it's a rumor, that they're going to make you register for your ammo. So that was one thing that a lot of people were buying, and I would suggest that, too, definitely. It's just a rumor, but it's better safe than sorry, people. If you can afford just to stock up now, then do that, please.
Yeah, even if you buy like 223 ammo, let's say you don't even have an AR-15 assault rifle, if you buy 223 ammo right now or some common ammo, like say some 38s, some 12-gauge, just buying that right now, your money is going to double and triple. Seriously. It will seriously be worth. Yeah. If you were to buy 223 5 years ago, they were picking up 1,000 rounds for, like, I think it was $100 or $120, and now it's like $300-$400 or something crazy like that. Yeah.
Let me throw something else in here real quick. Don't go out and buy an AR-15 and an AK-47 and a 308. Buy an AK if you're on a limited budget. I'd recommend it regardless. And instead of buying another gun, you can only carry one, buy extra clips and ammunition. That's the way you should go if you're on a limited budget. If you got all the money in the world, then, hey, it's an investment. Buy 100 guns, whatever. But if you only have enough money to buy one gun or limited, whatever, just buy one gun and then a bunch of clips.
Yeah, or a big-ass drum.
The drums are $150, so you can get a bunch of 30-round clips for the same price.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend AKs. They're the ultimate warrior gun across the world right now, that's for sure.
Simple and effective.
Any more calls, Mike?
Yeah, let's see if we got any more calls. Looks like Zyklon B wanted to get in on a call here at one point, and I had trouble getting on.
Well, let me share
something
in the meantime.
Yeah, go ahead.
My approach on YouTube at this point in time, and I focus on YouTube because it's where everyone's at, is to go to other people's channels. I was going to Martin's channels for a while, or Representative Press, or people like that that already have a large audience, and you kind of spoon off of them. You feed off of them. And post your videos if they allow. At the very least, point them to your videos. And that's the approach that I'm taking at this point in time, because we do need to reach out to the average person, especially someone who's looking into these things. I don't waste my time going to the, you know, little, whatever you would call these guys that don't really talk about anything, nothing politically oriented or anything else, but people that are already looking into these things, and they just kind of fill in the blanks. And that's the approach that I'm taking, and I would obviously recommend that to anyone else as well.
That's an excellent topic to bring up, guerrilla marketing out there on the internet. Some of the things I've done recently was that teen internet suicide that went on there. I put up a bunch of my old videos, uploaded them in the tag account, the subject line, and in the message box. I named it, you know, Abraham Banks teen suicide, and I had like 100,000 hits on one video within a couple days. But, you know, it's got the message out there. Another very valuable tool which I found, which actually helped with missing links too, was Craigslist is one of the top 10 websites in the world right now. It is huge. What you want to do is you can go to the rant and rave section under personals in the Craigslist. I usually like to pick a mid to a fairly large size city, something like L.A. or New York. The Craigslist breaks those up in sections. But if you go to, say, something like a Milwaukee or a Cleveland, you'll have the entire city will be on there. But you go to the rant and rave section and you promote the website for your videos, whatever you're trying to promote for your message. And you'll be amazed at some of the hits you'll pull off of those.
Yeah, good advice.
Also, comment sections on mainstream articles, that's always a good one. It usually doesn't work too often because the Jews certainly don't want you to know. But I think we definitely went a little bit over here. If we don't have any more callers, we'll go ahead and call it a day on this show.
I know Ralston19 had a question. I don't know who that is. He keeps on trying to tell me on the little message thing that he has a question, telling him to call in or ask me, but I don't know what's going on with that.
All right, let me see, bring him on here. Well, shoot, you're back on.
Hi, Mike. My main question is, I mean, you know, the Jews have not reached their power positions, like, you know, on the internet or, you know, outside, you know, protesting or whatnot. They went directly in and they did it by paper and pen at these institutions, you know, politically, judicially. I mean, when's it going to be when we have people that are more directly that are going to fight for us in these positions, you know? Not like Ron Paul and Ralph Nader that are sort of, you know, like 5% of what we said. You know what I mean? Like, when's it going to be someone that's going to be direct out there that's going to be pushing what we push here, you know?
Oh, it's when you guys pick up on that.
I don't think there's any way that we're going to operate under their political system in success. That's just not going to happen at this point in time. They sealed that off to the rest of us a long time ago, so I don't really see a political solution in that sense. You'll hear, you won't have someone speak the truth and actually have a voice. You won't hear them.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that. I think right now during the process of educating people on what the problem is, when everything hits the fan, basically, you're going to see people be very open to new ideas and new groups of people that have been seeking to introduce those or implement them. So I think once the system actually goes down, which it inevitably is going to have to, there's nothing that's going to rescue this. They can transform it into, you know, say a communist North American Union with the Admiral and stuff like that. But you're gonna see a big fight when even if that happens. And when that happens, you gotta be ready to have a plan for them.
Well, to further that, anyone that actually appears on mainstream media or that reaches any degree of prominence in politics, I automatically do not trust them.
Yeah, well, that's old Eustace Mullins' rule, actually.
Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. Appreciate all the callers. What we'll do at this point is we'll have we'll start up with you, Scott, where people can find your videos and a website, whatever you want to plug, and we'll let you go ahead and do that.
I'm not going to plug anything. I'll create my next YouTube channel and send out my friend advice as I always do. But what I would like to see, because this show took a positive turn after the first hour. I'm not saying the first hour was a complete waste, but I wouldn't mind participating or at least listening in on a weekly basis. So maybe you can set that up so we can kind of meet here and speak to each other and formulate a plan going forward. And I would definitely be willing to participate in that. Just make it a set time every week and everyone knows to listen in.
Yeah, I certainly agree. That's something I'm going to look into doing as long as TalkShoe. I had an account on Blog Talk Radio, and I had I did 4 shows in the first week on there, and I had like some 13,000 downloads and the first week, and I run up to the ranks to number one on their network right away. And the owner, who's a Jew, called Alan Levy or Paul Levy out of New York City, he immediately made sure my account was banned, which really sucks. So hopefully TalkShoe will take that same role with me. If not, I'll be more than willing to do probably about 2 shows a week, if not more. I mean, that's the whole reason Alex Jones retains such people around, is because they always get fed information every day. And I think I would love to keep this going. So, but I appreciate you having on, Scott, and we will definitely keep in contact. And if you had anything else to say, man, we'll take it over to Goyim.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just check out my blog at goyimpride.org. Also, I have a couple YouTube accounts that, you know, most of them have been banned, just like Scott. I have not anywhere near as many bans as he does, but right now I'm goyimpride3 on YouTube, and I'll be going up to 4 or 5 and whatever else. So, yeah, check out, you know, and I also put any videos that I upload, whether they be mine or anyone else's that I think are important, I always put Goyim Pride as one of the tag words. And hopefully Scott's still doing that, but I haven't, you know, I've looked for Scott's videos by searching Scott Roberts, you know, one word or whatever, but and I haven't found him. But he has sent me invites the last couple times, so.
All right.
That's it.
I'm gonna go ahead and take this one last call. I think this guy was trying to get in earlier, just real quick, so you guys got a minute. Panhandle, Texas. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello. How are you guys doing tonight?
Pretty good. We're going to make it real quick, and then we're going to probably end
okay.
This one.
Okay, well, I just want to say I appreciate what all you guys do. I've been around a long time before the Internet come along, and it was really hard to get any information. But, look, there's a whole lot of things out there that people don't know about, that need to know about. And it's very difficult to get that message across to the cattle or whatever you want to call them, who, you know, have a belief system that is just, you know, ironclad. And I've always thought that the Liberty incident was one of the key ways, if that was made more public, that would get people eyes open and pissed off. And I'm just wondering what you guys think about that.
I totally agree with you. That's why we put the U.S. with Liberty in the film Missing Links. Actually, one of the shows I did on that Blog Talk Radio account was interview John Rankowski, who was a USS Liberty survivor.
Right, I saw that.
Yeah, and he actually just recently received a bunch of copies of Missing Links and absolutely loved it. So did numerous other people out there. So, yeah, the USS Liberty, I'm a big supporter of pushing that out. I think that is a key topic. 9/11 is kind of hard because,
right,
you know, you've had so many 9/11 conspiracy theorists that are run by Jews who just put it off
right.
the government and George Bush, but you can't argue about the USS Liberty. That's just stone cold fact.
Exactly. And clear cut.
The
USS Liberty is my go-to for the beginners. Anytime I run into someone and
right.
we start talking on the streets and stuff and they know nothing about Israel, I always go to the USS Liberty. That's always what I bring up to the beginners who never heard about anything. And it's so funny. It just happened, you know, 20-some-odd years ago, 30 years ago. People don't even, you know about it. So,
Exactly.
That's great thing to bring up, and it's the easiest thing because it's proven and it's known, and then that starts, then you can build on from there. So that's something, thankfully, it's all over the internet. It needs to continue, and that's how most people start finding out about the Jews. They see that something about the USS Liberty. That's a great topic to always bring up, especially the newbies.
I spoke to a Vietnam veteran a couple weeks ago, and I'm going down to Vegas next weekend to speak at a veterans organization. And that's the topic that I brought up to him right away with the USS Liberty. So I'm taking a DVD of that and making everyone watch that before I even begin to speak to them. But needless to say, I had a very pissed off Vietnam veteran sitting across the table from me when I let him know what took place in that incident. That is a very good incident to bring up.
Right.
And also, Scott, I'd like to mention that little series you did where you broke down the USS Liberty. I thought it was, I believe, a 5-video part was excellent, too.
Yeah, I'll repost that on this site. And I always, that's the first thing that I put on every new YouTube site because it's a must, absolute must see. And it just shows that they're capable of doing such false flag operations, and it would lead any reasonable person to question their involvement in 9/11 as well. So that's just kind of a good background to have. I agree with whoever.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, if people would, if that could somehow get more known, it would completely open the Pandora's box to everything else.
Yeah, they have no argument to it. There's nothing they can say to debate it. Nothing at all.
Joe, Liz, we're starting to run out of time because these guys, the survivors, are, you know, who've been fighting for 40 years are getting old, you know?
I purchased the History Channel's version of it. I didn't see it on TV, but I looked it up just to see the type of BS that they promote on the mainstream media. And it's disgusting, and people need to hear the real truth behind that, and it's up to us to make sure that they can hear it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you guys feel the same way because I appreciate all your work. Keep at it. Don't fight so much because it takes a lot of different points of view on the same subject to reach different people. So stay friends and keep at it.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
GP, I guess we'll let you finish up plugging your site, and then we'll move to Quest. And then, somebody is asking on here about where can he get Missing Links DVD. $1DVDProject.com is selling them on his own. I believe you have to buy a minimal amount of them or whatever, but you can get them there. I obviously couldn't even bother selling them because according to Homeland Security, since I don't have a permanent address, I can't get a P.O. box. And PayPal, the Jews that own that, cut me off from accepting any kind of donations or taking any funds in for anything. So they kind of cut my legs off for being able to do any kind of financial or shipping or receiving. But
Mike, let me just say one thing real quick as far as the financial situation. I think John's pretty much in the same boat as you, but he actually has a way, if you look on his, like, I think, way to support him on JohnAllenMartinsonJr.com. He has a way to support him, and you can go to, like, I think, your local Walgreens or a lot of these other stores, and there's a certain kind of card you can buy, and, like, it's just cash on there. And you can, and if you have an account with their website or whatever, you can transfer funds that way anonymously. Which is pretty cool. So,
You're right. I remember talking to him about that actually.
So if you could set something like that up, I'm sure you could start getting some donations in, and I wouldn't have a problem, you know, doing that. So,
well, as of right now, I don't usually ask for donations unless for some reason I need them. Right now, I'm perfectly fine funding this or where I'm at on my own. There are times when, you know, I'm gonna need donations at some point, but until we actually get a big project, like, I don't know if we're all talking about maybe getting a conference together sometime next year, as long as some Jews don't blow off nukes, we could get a conference going. And, you know, that would certainly be something that I would be needing donations for.
Still on the line here, I want to point out to everyone, because I hear a lot of people come to me and tell me they can't even get through to their brothers or their friends, and no one listens to them. And I just need to suggest to everyone at this point in time,
that it's our duty and it's our responsibility to get the truth out. And no matter what it takes, if we have to tell people 100 times, whatever we have to do, and a very good way of doing this at this point in time is to make DVDs, use my videos, Quest videos, whoever's videos that you think has the appropriate message, and pass those out. And, you know, many people won't watch them, understandable, but if we reach 1 out of 10 people, that's a success. And it has a snowball effect, so don't get discouraged. Keep pressing through. I mean, I'm on my 60-something channel at this point. I don't necessarily wear that as a badge of honor. It's a pain in the ass. But we have to have that type of dedication to this because we're going up against the people that are in control. And if we give in, if we give up, or if we throw our hands up in the air and say, you know what, the hell with everyone else, then we've lost.
And you know, one of the things
we have to keep pressing on.
And one of the most important things to remember, too, is somebody gave me a saying the other day because I was really complaining myself. And, you know, I hear a lot of people make that complaint that they can't get through to the people they know. You know, and I had that same problem with, you know, a lot of local activists for the 9/11 idea, you know, trying to get through to somebody. And somebody made a really good point is you can't be a preacher in your own town or something. You know, you can't be a savior in your own town. So don't be afraid to go out and reach out to new people or just flyer. Go stick flyers indoors. You know, if you don't have the money to do the DVDs, put, you know, the websites on there and then drop flyers. But, you know, don't be afraid. Like, I just recently I went to the Islamic Center here in town, and I passed out some missing links. And it was welcomed with open arms. You know, it even made me tea, and it was an excellent event. So, yeah, you know, if you're pounding and banging your head up against the wall because you can't get your mom or your kids or your brothers or sisters or your wife or whatever, don't worry about that because, you know, sometimes they're just not going to want to hear you. And a new person is going to be a new face. They're going to listen to you a little better.
Right, but at the
Definitely.
Same time, I, coming from a former teacher, there's different methods. People learn in different ways. So I will put my head against the wall a little bit in the sense that some people just hear things if you say it a little bit differently. And I'm quite redundant with some of the points that I make in my videos because, after all, I am reaching out to new people. I don't care to preach to the choir or to necessarily make friends. It's to reach out to new people. So I'll try different approaches. But granted, there are people that I grew up with that have the utmost respect for me that still will not buy into this. They still will not listen to this. But we can only waste our time with those people so much. But we do need to give our best effort. And it's not always – I don't look at it as their failure to understand these things. I look at myself as being a failure in delivering the message. And I do what I can to change that message to have a more effective approach. So look within and try to make changes in your approach if it's not effective and do something different. And let me add something in here. Someone was saying something about Guest 92, response from me, that he's in Utah as well. And if he can tell me what the heck he's talking about, I'd respond.
All right. Also, I just wanted to add one quick thing in there. I just heard on December 11th, I read an article, and it's at the top of goingpride.org, that the ADL and YouTube are hooking up. But YouTube is reaching out to the ADL for help, basically in silencing hate, you know, silencing people talking on their site. So I'm sure that, you know, Scott
yeah.
and me and everyone else are going to be, if we're not already on the list, which I'm pretty sure we are, we're definitely going to be on the list now and anyone else. But you know what? Let's, you know, I'm not abandoning that until they totally kick me off and I can't grab on anymore, you know, because that
you know
is
what,
a great
GP?
Tool for reaching people. What?
You know what, GP? I'm really disappointed I'm not at their top list. I called the ADL, and I've caught them looking at my website through my tracker. And I called them, and I said, man, I'm one of the biggest anti-Semites I know. Can I make it on the top of your list? Because I want you Jews to know who's responsible for informing a large majority of people out here. I welcome them knowing who I am. Because you know what? I want them to see my face when the tables are turned.
Well, the bottom line is this. They're not going to know who you are. I mean, no one's going to know who you are if they don't. So you have to reach the average person. And if you haven't gotten the attention of the ADL or the JIDF, then you're doing something wrong.
Right? The JDIF has had me on theirs a couple times. I don't know. I mean, I've had personal things. I've talked to a couple people on here. I don't think I've talked to Scott about it just because I don't talk to him on the phone. I've never talked to him on the phone yet. But you know, it's all good. I know I'm probably a smaller fish compared to a lot of other people, too, so I'm not that worried about it at this point. That's kind of how I want to stay at this point in time, but that's definitely not going to be how it's going to be forever. And I am doing the best that I can at this current juncture. So, yeah.
Hey, G, let me jump in real quick. Just to touch on what Mike was saying –
Don't worry. You're all on their list. We all are.
I know.
Has you all on their list. They spy and they monitor. They watch what you do on computer. They track your IP addresses. They know where you live. That you got to expect that right away. And that's why just don't say anything stupid. And, you know, people say, Quest advocates violence. No, I haven't, because I'd be in jail. That's what they look for. Just always be aware that these are sneaky rat bastards, and they spy on you. They'll dig through your garbage if they have to. You're all on their list. And don't worry.
Let's make
they
that list grow. I mean, everyone out there needs to list grow and give them a lot of garbage to pick through. Let them pick through all of our garbage.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Oh, don't worry about what they're doing. They're kikes. They're going to do what they do. We have to expect that. And just don't. You're on their list, Mike. Don't worry. We all are. So, like Scott just said, let's get more. Let's get millions of Americans on that list and really give them something to shit about.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, and like as I stated before, I don't care what they have on anybody out there in their past. You know what I mean? I don't care what John's done. I don't care what Scott's done. I don't care what Quest's done. I don't care what Mike's done. The point is we're carrying the message right now that needs to be carried. We're holding that torch, and other people are gonna light theirs up too, and we're gonna get this message out there, and that's what's important. So.
Well, you know what I do? I go ahead and I disclose everything. I let everybody know everything about my life, so they can't use it against me. That's my approach.
Yeah, that was something that was brought to my attention when I first started my website. Is if you got something to hide, don't jump in the spotlight. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You just
pretty stock.
Got dead air. That's all.
Oh man, long good show though here. I'm just seeing if
let me answer this guy real quick. He's wanting my website. I had a website. It was on a free website. I paid some fees and I, you know, extended my services, and they took the website down. And then I wrote the owner of it asking him why and to give me a refund on the money that I had just put into it. And the guy writes me back with an LOL. I made a video highlighting that. So I'm a little bit – I'm waiting right now. I'm trying to do it right this time, having it hosted in a foreign country, in an Arab nation. Whatever I have to do, I'm looking into things. My best friend – one of my best friends lives in Pakistan, so he's looking into these things for me.
Good.
I'm trying to get – I'm going to do it right next time. I'm not doing anything half-assed. Not that I didn't put a lot of work into that. But anyways, the only reason that I'm going to do it is just information in one place. And I can give you guys the website for that right now just to keep in touch. And ultimately, I'm here to talk to people on YouTube and stuff, because that's where the average person is at, and that's who I'm trying to reach.
Well, go ahead, Quest, if you want to wrap up with your website and give everybody a link to that or the website you're at.
All right. Just go to prothink.org and click on the link that says Quest. I'd ask everyone to read the article, The Left, the Right, and the Cattle. Check that out and really think about it. Definitely read the Positive Fascism article. Get some of the older articles that's been there before you even recognize the site was around. There's some interesting stuff there. Comment on them. Just don't troll. That's basically it. And more people, put up more blogs. You know, if with ad hominem attacks, or if you agree, if you're a cheerleader or someone who jeers any one of us, put up your own sites. Do your own things. Get out there. Spread the word. None of you have the excuse of being ignorant. There's so much information out there on the Internet. Spread the word. When there's 5,000 blogs dealing with the Jew, more and more people are going to see it. So please, people, start your own blog. Start your own sites. If you look at my link sections, I support a lot of people who speak a good message, and I have no problem supporting anyone that speaks a good message. So people, get out there, spread the word, and let's take it to the streets. Let's form something from this. Let's form something from all this Internet talk. And really become some kind of physical force.
Well said, well said. I'd also like to probably promote your one of the best articles out there on just an overall breakdown of the Jew is your article on why the Jews.
Yeah, that too. I'm assuming everyone that calls in and is listening to the show would already know that. But, yeah, definitely, why the Jew? I think that breaks it down perfectly why it's called the Jewish question, what we're dealing with. And it definitely, you know, read that, take your own information from it, and spread the word, people. Start your own sites, make your own videos, get out there and do stuff. Spread the word, please. There needs to be a lot more of us doing this. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, GP. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, everyone, for being on the show. I think this was very productive.
All right.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, I want to commend everyone, man, because it wasn't looking too good at the start, man. But I think this turned out to be really, really well. Thanks, Mike, Scott, and Quest.
All right, well, we're going to wrap up the show. And, Scott, I appreciate you having you on. GP as well, and Quest. My thoughts exactly. It started out a little rough, but it panned out, and it actually turned out really good. I hope a lot of people out there got some issues settled as far as seeing where we're all from and what we're about. And, again, my website is obviously prothink.org. And we'll be signing off. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.